The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
Hi, my name is... Hi, my name is... Hi, my name is...
Fred Kirsch.
Hi, my name is... Hi, my name is... Hi, my name is...
Andy Hart.
Hi, my name is... Hi, my name is... Hi, my name is...
Paul Perillo.
Hi, the show is
PFW in Progress.
Hi, the show is PFW in Progress. My name is Mr. Liff. I lurk in lakes like the Loch Ness. World's best talk show. None can come close. Oh, how rude of me. Let me introduce the host, Fred Kirsch. Let's start with him first. His shoulders are boulders about as big as planet Earth. The captain of the ship, without a doubt, he's the boss. Fred, say a little something. Oh, wait, his mic's off. Andy Hart. Sometimes he's Andy. Catch him after lunch break, he could make the earthquake. He's the real wild card, truly enough said. One brain contained within the width of two heads. Paul Perillo, he's the sultan of soda. 2 liters, 4 liters, gotta meet his quota. I'm out of here, y'all, I gotta catch a flight to Greece. Tell Fred to stop dreaming about Geno's peace. Hi, my name is, hi, my name is, hi, my name is
Fred Kirsch.
Hi, my name is, hi, my name is, hi, my name is
Andy Hart.
Hi, my name is, hi, my name is, hi, my name is
Paul Perillo.
Hi, my name is, hi, my name is, hi, the show is
PFW in Progress and Eric Scalavino.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. It is Thursday here at Gillette Stadium. The glow hasn't subsided. We're still on.
Nor has the snow.
On a Super Bowl high here. Well, it's snowing a little bit, but it's not going to amount to much today.
Yeah, but it's not melting.
No, it's not melting.
And the high is 20 every day. It doesn't go away.
We're not gonna, and when there's no relief
this weekend,
in sight.
We're getting a blizzard.
No, there's a foot coming.
Yeah, there's
another
no relief
foot.
In sight.
The fun part is when we get the snow that doesn't really, you know, amount to more than a foot. Yeah, well, it's not really going to be much today.
Right.
You know?
Right.
We just blow it off.
I judge all these storms in terms of how much work it is to shovel. That's all I care about.
You'll be fine tonight. You won't be fine on Sunday.
At least it's on a weekend.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Hope our flight.
No, but see, that's it.
Gets
yeah,
out.
Paul and I, there is no way in hell we make it from here to Indy and Indy back without having some sort of travels. Because we're also flying back through Minneapolis.
Oh, boy.
That ought to be great.
They don't get any.
You're going away from
yes.
home to
well,
go
we travel a couple hours to get yes. like 500 miles further away from home.
Nothing can be worse than coming home from Arizona, though. So yeah.
We'll
that,
see.
That's the benchmark.
This is where we should have the RV so you could drive to Indianapolis.
I'm sure that wouldn't be a problem either.
Well, what could go wrong there?
Just so you know, if I have to spend a night in Minneapolis, I'm getting the penthouse suite. Just so you know.
They're already setting the
stage for the
complaints.
And I'm going to pull a Chris Ferreira and say, send up your best steak ASAP.
At 1 a.m.
Right. Just because I can.
All right, the gang's all here. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. 508-298-0398 is the ACE ticket hotline. Lots of emails coming in, some good ones. I flagged a couple.
You flagged them?
Yeah.
Did you?
Just because I just want to make sure there's so many that come in, and we get to just a fraction of them. It's I feel bad about that, but that's the way it is when you're PFW
show.
In Progress.
Popular show,
yeah. And you know, Florio has his show that goes on immediately head to head with us, and I saw a tweet that says, you know,
he does.
Yeah, he said, tweet me questions for our show at noon, and I thought, why would you even consider going head to head with PFW in Progress?
Did you write it?
I felt like writing
well,
it.
Well, he literally didn't consider going head-to-head when he could have come in here and wussed out.
Andy right. would have written
meow.
It.
Yeah.
Well, but to be fair, head-to-head with you is
true.
Is
I would have killed him.
Oh, yeah, that's a killer.
Bludgeoning.
Yeah. All right. So what are we talking about today? We had Bill Belichick on David Letterman.
Yeah.
We have...
Was he? Because I don't think he actually said anything.
No, he didn't say
it. It was like all
he
Letterman
was
and then
there.
He smiles and laughs.
He was actually there, though.
Yeah, he was there.
And why did
so
Letterman have the trophy behind
I didn't
him?
See it.
I don't know.
Like, that was weird, too.
Yeah, he brought it out at the end.
Yeah, but it's like
prop.
He's bestowing it upon him. Like, no, that's my trophy.
Yeah, it was
that stays with me.
That seemed a little strange.
Yeah,
like, oh, hey, look what I've got for you.
I thought at first it was going to be a gag, something different. It would deflate.
I thought
there was all the talk about deflation.
I actually thought the same thing. I thought it was going to be
but it was just the trophy.
A fake Lombardi that was going to be
deflated. Well, it was.
No, but I mean,
we know it wasn't the real one.
No, no, no.
It was one of the alternates.
Yeah, but really I mean, one
of the understudy.
A clearly like a bad Photoshop.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be like something, and it was just nothing. It was the Lombardi.
Or like the football on the Lombardi would have been deflated.
And I got to talk.
That would be funny. That's
what I thought.
Yeah,
that's what I thought it was going to be, and no, it wasn't. It was just the Lombardi.
It was the Lombardi trophy.
And there were some Deflategate questions, but it seemed like Letterman would ask the question and then answer it too.
Oh yeah, well, because Bill wasn't.
He had no choice. Right. Otherwise, it would have been dead air. Right.
Now he was funny. I thought Letterman was funny. The one where he said, "You know, now Tom Brady, you worried because he's my age."
Yeah.
Bill just laughs it off, and Letterman keeps going.
Right.
I do think Bill has the same problem I have, though. His shirts don't fit. The neck is too.
You need to get a bigger neck size.
I know, but I don't get. He can get whatever he wants. He makes like $10 million a year.
That's a iconic Seinfeld discussion about the second button on a shirt is key. Where that button is makes or breaks the shirt. If it's too high,
yours are always halfway down your chest.
But that's not what we're talking.
Second button.
He's talking about neck size.
Yeah. No, I'm talking about how many buttons. I'm talking about the tie and the neck size, the actual when it's closed. And he's always
like
moving his. I have the problem.
Like he's got like he's being choked when he has a shirt on. You shouldn't feel that way.
And Bill clearly does. His jowls hang over, and he always like
you have to get the right size neck.
Right.
What's your neck size on your shirt?
I have no idea.
You have no idea.
No idea. I don't buy custom suits, Freddie. You don't pay me
What's
enough
your neck
that.
Size?
I clearly have no idea.
I wear a 16.
I think 16. I'm 17 and a half-ish.
Yeah, that's about what I am.
But you should probably
go
with
an 18. The shirt I tried to wear at the on the way to Arizona, I wasn't out of the bathroom, and I'm like, I
already unbuttoned.
I had the tie on, but I had to unbutton the button.
But clearly, if you're getting 17 and a half and they're still too tight, you need to go up to 18.
Right, or 17 and three quarters or whatever if they make that.
I think they only come in half sizes.
Really?
But my point is,
go to 18.
But my bigger point is Bill can get any shirt he wants. And he has a lady friend who is an expert on fashion, and yet he's always doing the, like, move your neck thing.
Yeah, I get that. I don't like wearing buttoned-up shirts either. And ties, tighten it.
I've noticed.
Like you wear a lot of button-up shirts. You just don't button them up.
Those are button-down shirts.
Right.
That actually just came up when the audio guy was miking.
Yeah, we had a new audio guy.
Are you
going to
leave this shirt this open or something?
Are you going to leave it open like this?
Well, you have another.
As a matter of fact, I am. Thank you.
Why does it?
You guys are doing another TV show?
No, we had to do a thing for the combine. We did a pre combine meeting. So what we're going to be
production meeting.
Production
behind the scenes.
And Fred was the moderator.
I think that came out pretty good.
It was fine.
It'll be on Patriots.com on Sunday.
Yes.
Yeah.
Telling people what we're going to tell them next week.
Right. Well, no, but it's a preview. It's like, here's what you can expect from Patriots.com around the combine.
We were talking. We're really looking forward to having Bob there.
Yeah.
As soon as I left, breaking down the Navy long snapper.
Right. Yeah.
Good to have you aboard, Bob.
I said to Andy, going to be good to have Bob on board.
Yeah.
Someone who actually knows what he's talking about.
Yeah, Bob, for the first time, Bob Soucy from 98.5 will be joining the Patriots.com crew at the combine. I think that's great.
I do too, and I'm not joking because Danny Aiken's not that good. I don't want to
ruin long
anybody's feelings.
Yeah,
if there's legitimately a good Navy long snapper, he is a potential Patriot.
You're right.
There's no doubt in my mind.
You're right.
So we can put him on that story.
How
and
does that work now with service academy players? Do they still have to fulfill their 4-year requirement?
I think they do.
Well, but they can delay it if they're employed in the NFL. They can get that waiver, and that's why some of them get in trouble. Like, you know,
the running back,
Eric Catani,
he got yanked and stuff. So
Kyle Eckel.
And it depends who gets to make the decision. There's different layers. But, you know, some of them look at it as a promotional tool to have a Navy player on an NFL. It's, you know, blah, blah, blah. And but, he will get the chance.
And the service academies also don't want to be so exclusive that they won't be able to get any players to come and play for them.
Right.
If none of them have any shot.
Hypothetically, let's say we're talking about this long snapper kid. Let's say he has a Lonnie Paxton-like career and plays, you know, 19 years in the NFL. He has to fulfill 4 years in the military.
He still owes it.
When he's in his
late
30s?
I think
why not?
But some of them work as well. You know, they do stuff at the recruitment office, and they can count different things they do along the way towards their service.
You don't have to be, like, on a battleship in, you know, the Pacific.
You don't have to shoot anyone to fulfill your 4 years.
No, I know. It just seems like, you know, it used to be so strict where it's like you played here, you're going 4 years, then you can go in the NFL.
What was his name?
David Robinson.
David Robinson.
Yeah. And he didn't have to do it. He was able to go right to the NBA. Right. Like Roger Staubach had to fulfill the 4 years before he went to the Cowboys.
Yeah. The other guy, Chad Hennings.
Chad Hennings. Mm-hmm.
He actually did some service time.
He did. He was a pilot.
Pilot, which I still don't get.
And he was huge. I don't know how he fit in the damn thing.
Pilot.
Right. He was like 6'6". Defensive lineman.
I'm reading,
by the way.
Small. You're reading. That's good.
Good call.
Congratulations. I am. Well, I don't read during the season. I don't have enough time.
I don't read anything.
I've read like three books since the season ended. I like it. Okay. I'm reading The Unbreakable or Unbroken.
Unbroken.
Or Unbroken. I'm not that far in.
Great book.
So far, I love it. And part
of
what I love
right now,
is how far we've come in like military. And the guy made me laugh about how cold it is when they would fly high flights and people would sneak their drinks in the back of the plane so that when the plane came back, they'd go get it and it'd be ice cold because it was up at like 10,000 feet for a while. Right. Like, to compare that to what you think of now is everything is like a video game and it's all computers. Like, you got guys just hanging out in the plane. A guy had diarrhea, so he hung his butt out the side of the plane and pooped. Like, that's where
I like that. Wow. That
and talk about dropping bombs.
Thought that was
people.
A great anecdote.
He's got the highlighter.
And we won
that.
The war. Like, I just think it's funny. Like, you think of it now as such precision, billion-dollar industry of computers, and you got a guy hanging his ass out the plane because he had diarrhea from the night before.
Do you know her story, Laura Hillenbrand?
No.
Her story is
you better hope you do, too, because people are going to criticize
no.
if you get it wrong.
Her story is unbelievable. Her story is book-worthy itself. She wrote Seabiscuit, and while she was researching Seabiscuit, she found the story of Zamperini and decided to do that as her next big project. She suffers from chronic fatigue syndrome and has had that since college. Had to drop out of college or couldn't finish college because of it. She can't leave the house. She never left the house to interview Zamperini. She did all like 100 hours worth of interviews with him over the phone. Yeah. She never visited any of the sites, any of the World War II sites or anything. She is basically housebound and has written both of these, watershed books from her house, never leaving her house. It's unbelievable. Yeah. And she has like constant vertigo. So it's a pain for her even to look at a screen and to type and to write. So she has to do it in little bits and spurts. It's mind-boggling what she's gone
through. You're so right, though. Like, I am so immature. Because the other thing I'm thinking of is when he's talking about the opening ceremonies at the 36 games, and they released 8 billion doves, but something caused him to poop all over all the athletes. Like, these are the things that stick in my mind. I'm such an idiot.
And he's like, oh, I wish I could do that.
Two things that stick out. Guys pooping out of the airplane and the birds. Right.
Guys. No, you're guys in general.
Yeah. You know, the guys, well, I don't want to spoil the book for you.
Yeah, don't. Because I'm only like 80 or 100 pages in.
All right. So combine's coming up.
Yes. Free agency.
The free agency's coming up. The window for franchising is coming up.
Starts Monday. Who are you going to tag?
So the lot
who you got? Who you got in that race?
I have no idea.
McCourty?
I mean.
Well, somebody said just, you know, franchise McCourty with the intention of doing a deal just so that you don't have to worry about him getting out into the open market.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think makes McCourty sense. Is the candidate. Because Gostkowski's just a kicker, so you just sign him. And a little sources telling me that his wife joined a gym this morning in the local area, joined a new gym.
Whose wife?
Whose?
Gostkowski's.
Oh.
Would you join a new gym if you were planning on leaving?
Well, if there's no cancellation fee, what's the difference?
Just saying. That's my sources are telling me on the ground.
Just so you know, you're going to make fun of me, and I don't really care. I ordered the Bomax trainer. It's a new elliptical that is... As a revolutionary design that optimizes the work.
Now, how easy is that to fit in Andy's truck?
Well, I was going to say, when should I tell Deidre she's getting a new piece of workout equipment?
Give me a year. Give me
now,
a
what
year.
Is it?
It's
is
the Bomax trainer.
What is it?
It's an elliptical.
Okay.
But it's a little bit different design.
Not Bowflex.
Well, it's the same company.
Oh, it's the same company?
Nautilus is the parent company. But this one has, the way it's engineered, you can press this button.
And you
can do
you.
This 14-minute workout that you can burn calories twice the rate. And obviously, I have to build myself up to that because I won't be able to do that
you
on day
one. You can't go 14 minutes.
But the way the handles are, it's this whole thing. So,
this is going in your house?
No, of course it's going in my house.
What?
I don't know if it'll be going in my house.
I mean, Eric makes a fair point. Was it going in your office?
Yeah.
I mean, there's different things that could happen.
Yeah, I'm not going to do that.
I'll tell Deidre. 1 year from now, she'll be getting... Next Valentine's Day, I'll have a present for her.
Well,
you're not going to use it.
Well, it's not just for me.
Valentine's Day. Yeah. Ooh, so. Sorry. Sorry, hon.
I already ordered flowers.
I just forgot.
I know. It's Saturday, right?
Forgot my wallet, though. I had to use Maura's credit card.
Too late now.
Wow. Yeah.
Wow.
Well, now they'll get you on all the, if you want it by this or whatever, delivery fees and this fee.
Well, the company has given us very generously Friday off.
Yes.
So use that day to get what you need to get. Right?
Are you okay? You haven't even had any soda or anything, have you?
I know. No,
what is coming up?
I need some, though, by the way. All right, let's
I don't think we have any.
Let's get into the phone calls and emails.
14 minutes, though. That just he heard. Oh, I can get in shape in just 14 minutes?
Yes!
you know what? He makes fun of me all the time. He's so similar to me that it's like, whatever. What corner can I cut?
And let me guess, there was a guy like this. Shredded standing there.
I know, but Paul, at least I'm making an attempt.
I play basketball. That's my attempt.
See, and he knows what
I know.
He knows
it
himself.
Is.
Like, he knows the... He's not going to waste money.
I'm not going to go out and buy fancy equipment that I know I'm not going to use after three times.
I use the other one.
I got a game tonight, 7:45.
Like 10 years, that elliptical I gave you.
And it had 10 years worth of clothes piled on top of it.
Now, the fact that we go out drinking after the game, that probably counteracts any calorie that I may have sweated
off.
So
your use of the equipment is kind of like your lunch orders. You eat a few bites, and then you throw the rest away.
He doesn't have much attention for anything. He moved. That's part of his issue.
That's why I'm. It's amazing that you read as much as you do.
Do you read
a short
commitment?
You do have a very short attention span. Right. And reading is a commitment.
Yeah,
it's one of the reasons I don't
read it
more.
Night before I go to bed.
How long?
It depends on how tired I am. Sometimes I can go longer.
And he only needs like
sometimes
two.
Sometimes it doesn't last as long.
When he drinks.
The end of the chapter is a climax. And he was a page turner.
One email I
it's
want.
It's the off season, baby.
One email I
just And we won ever. The title, Best baby. They can't take it away now.
No. I wanted to make sure I read this one from Haynes in Houston because it's
Hainsy.
Kind of a victory lap for Patriots fans.
And it's alliteration.
He says, as we Patriots fans continue our victory lap around the NFL, I'd like to remember that the reports of the Patriots' death have been greatly exaggerated. Here are my top five obituaries since 2009. Number five, quote, it was great while it lasted, but even a pig-headed Patriots pigskin buff must acknowledge that the dynasty is over. In the end, they're mere mortals. That was by Dan Shaughnessy, January 11, 2010. Number four. Quote, when the good times end in the very near future, New England Patriots fans will remember this week as a turning point. They will also see that AFC Championship game lost to Baltimore as additional evidence of an overrated franchise. Patriots' best years are behind them by Jeffrey Chahida, February 28, 2013. Number three, Sunday is how dynasties end, with small broken pieces, not large ones. Dynasties do not end in spectacular collapse or fiery conflagration. They end from the corrosive effect of winning. Patriots Best No Longer Enough by Ron Borges, November 7, 2011. Number two, quote, night already has begun to fall on the Patriots dynasty last season. This season, the Jets will make it complete. The New England Patriots reign is over by Jeanette Howard, April 13, 2010. And finally, number one, so this is how the New England Patriots dynasty dies, with thunderous applause. Their failure was so complete, so embarrassing, that it's hard to see any way they'll win more games than they lose, let alone collect their usual division title or represent the AFC in the Super Bowl again. But no matter how well built, no matter how wisely ruled, the sun eventually sets on every empire. That's called Embarrassing Monday Night Football Blowout Loss to Chiefs Sounds Death Knell for Patriots Dynasty by Ty Shalter, September 30th, 2014. You know, Haynes went to the trouble of putting that together. I thought that was pretty good.
I would just say the Haynes.
Where was Eric on there?
Man, you went back to 2010 to find stuff?
I think that just proves the point of how wrong everybody's been.
Well, okay, so he was wrong. So, like, 5 years later, they won the Super Bowl. And the poor person that wrote, I mean, like, the Kansas City stuff, I would have that plastered all over billboards. The Steve Young and Trent Dilfer thing, they're not good anymore. I mean, 4 months later, they won the Super Bowl.
But even 2010,
you don't need to go back to
the
2010.
Next year, they went to the Super Bowl. You know?
Yeah.
What do you mean, nah?
I just think that you had...
Eric, what do you want to do for the next half hour?
You had the banner the banner headline was right there for you with ESPN did after that Kansas City.
Oh, sure.
Bigger story. Why are you worried about 2010?
I just think a lot of people have been
there's like five
quick
people
to
still
say
on
that
I mean, like,
the winning is over. And they've been doing it for 5 years now.
No, I think we all get that, but I think what's
the Diet Coke in cans? Where did we get this?
I thought you liked it in the can.
I do.
You like it in the can.
Keeps it colder.
The Omega.
Thought it was hotter.
We saw a weak team, the New England Patriots. Let's face it, they're not good anymore.
I would play that in a loop over and over again, according to everybody.
That was just Tom Brady talking. They were just, you know, the conduit of his information. So,
I'm talking about if you're one of these people, that it's not
one of these people, Paul.
The people that are more happy about proving the media wrong than winning the Super Bowl.
It's equal.
Those people.
It's equal.
Did you order the M5 or the M3?
M5.
Of course you did.
I knew he had. Are you doing research or did Stripper send you something?
I knew he had the M5 because, you know, there's
more
like
expensive.
It's more expensive, but the side-by-side comparison, it's a Bluetooth sync. It has like all the technology.
Bluetooth. Yeah, so you have your health app on your phone.
Deidre's
and it tracks everything.
Excited.
Yeah.
Because I would have never spent $1,600
heart
on
rate,
this thing.
Heart rate, calories, burns, off. All that stuff.
Yeah, like the whole thing. Yeah.
Just for you, though, right? The 150 off because you called right now.
But impressive research by Haynes in Houston. I will say that. Impressive.
And you're going to get hurt. This looks like something you could get hurt on.
Well, I did read the reviews. I did extensive research. The reviews said you do have to get used to it. It's not your typical elliptical. It's kind of a little bit counterintuitive.
Typical elliptical. That's a tongue twister.
Yeah.
It's not your typical elliptical.
Oh, good news is it does have a chest strap to monitor your heart.
Yes.
So we'll know when you die.
Yeah, and also has an alert button in case you collapse. You can hit the button on the way down to the ground.
I've fallen and I can't get up!
Do you see how happy he gets?
Oh, I know. Yeah.
When he talks
other
about
people's misery.
Have you seen that? Have you seen the video of the guy who was at the gym on a treadmill? And like this hot girl
chick
walks by him and he turns and like he falls off the treadmill as she walks by and he just continues to do like push-ups. And she turns around and looks.
It is good. But I love how he tells us he's not rich and he just plunked down $1,600 on an elliptical.
Meanwhile, I can't pay my mortgage.
Taxes are coming back. I should get a good refund this year.
I think I should too.
Yeah.
Did you already do your taxes?
I sent them in.
Wow. Oh, you did it by yourself?
No, I sent them to the accountant.
Oh.
Yeah.
Did we get our...
I don't have all my things yet, I don't think.
Really?
I don't think so.
You're supposed to have them by the end of January. That's the kind of
No, I think they have to send them by the end of January.
Okay.
Right. Well, I mean, it's February 12th.
Right.
If it was sent at the end of January and you don't have it yet,
I'm pretty sure I'm missing significant ones, which just means I don't have to claim that money, right?
I have.
No.
Is that how it works?
No.
I think I have everything.
Well, because you guys have various
means of
income.
Well, Andy and I have to wait for the Sports Hub. For Comcast.
Right.
I also have to wait for All Access.
Wow.
Plus, they've now gone to payroll, not payroll, so there's 1099s, there's W-2s, there's...
Yeah.
I'm all W-2s now, except for All Access.
And it's a big
one. Well, it's the only one you need.
Right. Hence the M5 over the M3. You didn't even consider the M3.
That's not a door you wanted
when,
to open
when
over
one
there.
Comes with custom grips and the other doesn't. That just sealed it for me.
G.I. Joe with the Kung Fu grip.
Custom grips.
All right, let's get to the phones. Miguel's in Oregon, first up on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Hey, Miguel.
Hey, guys. Can you guys hear me okay?
Yes.
Hey, man. Thanks for taking my call. I wanted to see if you guys let me say bring up 2 points. The very first one is, did you guys watch the Inside the NFL show they had after the Super Bowl?
Yes.
Yeah, it was great, by the way. But I wanted to hear you guys take...
Is that the one on Showtime?
Yes,
I did see that.
Yeah, about the Ed Reed's point when the Patriots had when the Seahawks had the ball right before the half, he was saying something about grabbing the receivers.
Yes,
and actually give him the pass interference call, which it would bring the ball to the two.
The problem is he wasn't close enough to even interfere with him.
Right. You know? I thought that was very interesting when he brought that up, though, as a heady player that Bill loves more than anyone, to say you just tackle the guy and make him kick a field goal.
Right.
And
or make him make a decision.
Right. Well, yeah.
There's only 2 seconds left. I mean, the only reason why he wasn't even close enough to do that is because he wasn't thinking about doing that in the first place. Because if he was thinking about grabbing him, he wouldn't have let him get away from him. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Which is...
Like,
it's interesting with Belichick because you think every situation, you know, even going back to that famous clip of Marquise Hill and talking about offsides and, you know, what do you lose?
On the one-yard line.
And all that.
Yep.
And now Ed Reed kind of proposes something that clearly Bill didn't tell his defense to do.
Or did, and he didn't listen.
Oh, I guess.
Yeah, do something like that, and then they're probably going to kick a field goal with 2 seconds left.
It was good. Miguel, that is a good point. It was interesting.
Yeah, and then my second point was, the Malcolm Butler play. Now, I was going to bring this up like when after the Super Bowl, but like with all the hype, you know. But he gets the ball, like he intercepts the ball, but he doesn't fall into the end zone. And I know you were saying the other day that he's probably just thinking like the safety or whatever. But like during an interview, he actually said that he didn't want to be in the end zone because he was going to get a safety. And that's incorrect.
It was close.
Yeah, and see, he certainly couldn't have known.
Yeah,
he was in the field of play.
He didn't know if he had been in, out of the end zone first and came back. It was unclear to him in that split
second.
I think he did the safe thing.
I think he did the right thing.
Yeah. I think it would have been a touchback. I do too.
I do too, Andy.
But there's no way to know for sure in
split second. Your instincts take over, but I think it was a clear touchback.
I think Andy's
I don't think
right.
they have the balls to call a safety there.
I don't think
but
they
I think he was in the field of play. I think at least one foot was in the field of play.
I don't think he was because he comes here and then he actually has to kind of go back. He like double catches it.
Right.
And I think when he possesses it, I think
oh, you're absolutely right. But again, he's in that split second. I got
to
be safe.
Yeah, and it would have been entertaining to put the officials in the spotlight.
And I do think here's the other part that makes it tough is he was sort of moving forward when he caught the ball. So
yeah, that's what I wanted to say.
So like, to be sure to go back into the end zone and take a touchback, I think he played it safe.
Oh, yeah. I do too, because he knew the way the play unfolded. His momentum was coming out.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So it's actually going to take effort to go back in.
Right.
And if he makes that effort. That could
they
be
might
where
call
you get
that
in trouble.
A safe.
Because the whole thing revolves around basically your momentum, where the momentum of the play takes you, keeps you, puts you in possession.
I saw him catch the ball and like try to reach for a couple yards when I saw the sound effects deal. I know he did play it safe and everything, but the only thing that caught my mind was what he said. He said he actually thought that falling into the end zone was going to be a safety.
It could have been.
Now, I don't
right.
think they would have, and it would have made for a bad ending potentially to the season to have a questionable call now decide a Super Bowl.
And you can see Hightower kind of like try to push him back in the end zone, kind of like grabbing his ball, like don't fall forward.
I think he was pushing him forward.
I think he was trying to make sure that he was down and the play was over.
Okay. I agree with Andy. I don't think they would have called it a safety.
But I agree with Butler with what he did because
I would not put it into a referee's hands.
Just real quick before I leave, guys, I want to thank you guys for the show. Right now, it's like this week has been kind of like the week where everybody's like kind of moving on from the Super Bowl.
On all the
radio shows, and I just want to thank you guys, and I'll be subscribing to the PFW magazine pretty soon.
Thank you,
1-800-494-PETS.
That's right.
PFW online if you'd prefer to do it digitally.
Carol, our circulation manager, says, you know,
business is booming
right now,
which means she'll get back to that message you left in 2 months.
She's very helpful and polite too,
so she's got this stack of envelopes like, so these just come in while they came in last week.
Do you hear her conversations when
I try not to listen.
no these are good ones. These aren't when she's like yelling and giving people attitude, but these
oh,
are like
very nice.
Yeah, and I was in the other end zone and I couldn't really see. I just saw cheering.
Oh,
and
she's
reliving the game with these other super fans.
That's fine,
because that's what she is,
right?
But
great. You hear those conversations,
and then it'll be
she doesn't have a cube, she has a shrine.
And yes.
Yeah.
But then it moves on to, yeah, I know, I think they need to keep Revis, but I don't know what they're going to do. And like, she's having these conversations.
Now, can tremendous. I get that credit card from you?
Right. And then I start giving her a hard time.
Yeah.
It's Adam Schefter on the other side. What have you heard, Carol?
A source within the New England organization.
Schefter.
Turns out she's been the leak the whole time. All right.
Don't you never tells us anything?
Let's go to Eldridge in North Carolina. Hey, Eldridge.
Hey, fellas, how y'all doing?
What's up, Big E?
I'm doing good. Riding through the snow. Well, I ain't there yet, but driving through it.
Why? Where are you?
I'm up in by Cleveland, Ohio.
Okay.
About 41 miles.
Cool.
Going to Akron. Yeah.
Oh, you going to Akron? You going to look for LeBron?
No, it's not summertime. He's not vacationing.
I'm a Boston Celtics fan. I can't live with Cleveland.
I hear you. Okay, I'm going to throw a name at you, Eldridge. I'm going to sabotage your call here. Doral Green Beckham. You know who that is?
Yeah, O.D. Beckham. Yeah, Beckham.
No.
This is another guy you need to learn because this is your guy. He is a tremendous red flag off the field, but the physical comparisons for him are Randy Moss and Calvin Johnson. So you want to learn him.
So he's 6'5".
He is 6'5", 225, 449. Didn't play last year because he got kicked out of Missouri, transferred to Oklahoma.
Off-field jarring comparisons to Aaron Hernandez.
Burglary.
Yeah.
Andy, and burglar.
You got me all wrong, Andy. You got me all wrong. I want good players with a pretty good background. I know kids are going to do stupid stuff coming up because I did when I was coming up, too.
Yep.
But no, we got a Randy Moss type on the field.
Who?
But they don't want to play.
Ryan Timms.
Oh, my
right?
God. Are you out of your flipping mind?
Ryan Timms?
You got him. You don't want to play him.
Have you watched him?
Yeah, I've watched him.
Really?
I've watched him. He's behind.
Because he takes the top off the defense, except it never comes off.
Well, it did once.
Not really. He made a great catch.
With three guys all over him.
Bethel Johnson used to take the top off, and guys were like 5 yards from him.
That's not his fault he had to make a great catch.
Well, there were people there.
Actually, it is. He didn't get open.
If you beat a guy by 5 yards because you took the top off, okay. But he doesn't –
you don't think he's got the speed?
I do not. No, I do not.
I don't think he has those skills.
And to compare him to Randy Moss is just asinine.
Well,
sorry, Eldridge.
Okay, well, yeah, I got a little question for all of y'all. ESPN came out with five players that can make the Patriots unbeatable. And I'm like, yeah, right. We ain't signing all five of them because cap space won't let us. But hypothetically speaking,
they needed all five of those guys in this exercise?
Three out of five or two out of five.
Okay.
And here's the five players. Number five, DeMarco Murray. Number four, DeNominal Sue. Number three, Houston out of Kansas City, the outside linebacker.
Yeah,
Justin Houston.
Yep.
Number two, Demaryius Thomas, wide receiver from
Denver.
Denver. And number one, Dez Bryant from the Cowboys.
Yes.
Out of those five, which three or which two would you try to sign?
Okay. Out of those five.
Out of those five, I would go Dez Bryant, Justin Houston.
I would go Justin Houston.
I would go Justin
because
Houston.
Of the need.
Yeah,
but yeah.
The
I mean,
pass
I love,
rusher.
You know, I love Bryant.
I think
and Thomas.
Demaryius Thomas is a
meow. We've seen him. We've seen him. We've seen him turtle a little bit. Yeah.
Touch Sue?
No.
Because of the
no, he's a punk. I don't want punks.
Yeah, no interest.
I would.
You
no
would.
Interest.
I would.
So he'd be one of your two.
Yep. I have no interest
Who's
in Sue and even less interest in Murray.
I might go with Murray.
I might just go Sue and Houston and just like let's go. Let's go on that front line.
I would take Houston and probably, I would say Murray.
Do what they did on the front line to what they did with cornerback last year and just get two guys and let's go.
I wanted the Patriots to draft DeMarco Murray 4 years ago because I do think he fits in his versatility and the way he plays. Mm-hmm. But
like the player, don't like the stage
him,
of his career
right.
now. I don't have any
After
interest
8
in him
billion
now.
Carries, and he made it through this year. Well, sort of made it through
sort
this
of.
Year.
Yeah.
But he never made it through anything. Oklahoma and early in his – he's an injury-prone guy.
I like the player. Now. I like the player a lot.
And Dez Bryant, I'll still be scared, but dude is – he's the Gronk of receivers right
oh,
now.
Oh, yeah.
So now you have arguably the two most physically dominating guys at two offensive
positions.
Can you
imagine Brady throwing him the ball?
Well, that's what I think of. He's a guy, he can just throw it to him and let him get it. He doesn't have to be open.
Like,
not
I know,
open.
Would
he's
Brady
like
do that? Would he just throw it up?
If he
does
it,
like,
if
he does it,
black,
well, yeah, he does it
the
for
07
Gronk?
Season?
I guess he did with Moss.
I think he would. And he does it with Gronk all the
and
time.
And he does it with Gronk.
He does it with Gronk constantly.
Okay.
Maybe that's, a little too often.
That's why he gets intercepted.
Down the stretch, it became a problem.
Right.
Thanks, Eldridge. That's
but the bad news
call.
Is.
That is a good call. I hadn't heard that ESPN.
They're not signing any big free agents.
Yeah, I would be stunned if they signed anyone of that kind of consequence. I mean,
except
the
Larry Fitzgerald.
I was going to say, the only one I hold out hope for.
Freddie, don't roll
don't
your eyes.
Don't roll your eyes.
I'm a little off.
I'm going to tell you something.
Well, because he's not that good anymore.
Right, exactly.
Just going to tell you a little inside stuff. You know, Andy and I did happen to see Larry Fitzgerald in the press box. And he was sort of milling around the area where a lot of, you know.
PFW guys were?
No.
Well, just
no.
Sort of. Patriots type people.
Team personnel were, you know, commingling.
Is that a word?
Commingling?
Did I make that up?
There were some conversations.
All right, so let's just say they brought in Fitzgerald. What do you get out of him? This
he still has great hands.
He still is good.
He's still, now, don't pretend you're getting a game-changing 1,400-yard, 15-touchdown receiver. But I also am not sure you're getting the guy who scored two touchdowns last year.
Are you getting someone that could do what Anquan Boldin could do?
Get hot and carry you and be a – yes.
Yeah.
Okay. I think you are.
Yeah.
I think he still has great hands, and I think for a couple game stretch or, you know, they overcover Gronk and this, I think he could take advantage.
And again, instead of Ryan Lindley and those guys and Drew Stanton, you have Brady throwing the ball with Gronk, with Edelman, with whoever – with LaFell.
LaFell. Yeah.
You know. Now he's going to have to sign a, you know, I want to win a title contract.
Well, I was just going to say, he's a guy, one of those guys like Corey Dillon, other guys they've signed that never had a ring,
that might just come here on a favorable contract.
But he's also the perfect guy. He's more Junior Seau or somebody.
Yeah.
He doesn't have any baggage.
Right.
Mm-hmm. His only baggage is he's getting older.
I'm just talking about in terms of being willing to.
And he is.
No, I know.
He is getting older. You can see he doesn't have the explosiveness that he used to have.
Right. He's more of a possession
receiver in his 30s. He's a possession.
I would take him. I would still take him.
Oh, I would absolutely take him.
I mean, basically, what if you just flop him into the Amendola role? You know, he's a $5 million complimentary receiver.
Right.
I'll take it.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's a big upgrade. Mm-hmm. Because in our likelihood, he's going to be higher than that in your end sort of hierarchy.
And you said upgrade, so Amendola's gone in that case.
Sure.
Okay. Can't keep them both?
I would. Well,
you can do whatever you want
to
do.
But I
but then he doesn't play now. He's not going to play if Larry Fitzgerald's here.
Yeah.
Now all of a sudden we get a $6 million kick return.
Right.
Okay.
I didn't know we did stuff like that.
Interesting. Mm. Melvin in Tennessee is on the line. Hey, Melvin.
What's up, y'all? What's going on?
Hey.
I'll make it kind of quick, man. Keeping the team as is now, I know a lot of this is going to depend on Revis. But, you know, this time last year, everybody preached about the fact that we needed a safety, and we did. It was you know, obvious. But heading until, you know, this time of the year now, do you still feel like with Chung and with that need now, do you feel like that need is officially, like, completely gone now?
No.
Especially now that with that, and combined with the fact that with safety and the fact that, you know, with the defensive back, you know, Tanner decided to take the year off. You know, Logan Ryan looks like he basically took the year off. He didn't know what was going on out there either. So do you all feel that we also would you need another cornerback? Because other than looking into this team right now, other than defensive line and offensive line, really, I don't think, you know, much help is needed. You can tweak little things here and there, but I think the focus has to be on the trenches. That is it. Then, you know, I'll let y'all go. I'll talk to all y'all later.
All right. Thanks, Melvin.
I kind of agree that the lines would be my focus going into this offseason. But he's right too. It does start with Revis.
Right.
I want to get that.
You're assuming
I want to get that done. Then
otherwise
focus.
Cornerback.
Oh, that becomes your biggest need. If Revis leaves, that becomes your biggest need. But I'm with the consensus.
And if McCourty leaves, then safety's a need.
Yeah.
And I think because
I'm not ready to start any of those other guys.
And even if McCourty stays, I still don't think that you just say, oh, well, we're all set back there.
Because Patrick Chung.
He had a nice year, but he has a ton of flaws, and you saw them periodically throughout the year.
But I also
they were able to overcome them.
His health. He stayed healthy this year.
Yes.
Is that going to happen again?
Especially if he's going to play that role again.
6 years into his career, I mean, he's getting a little older. So it'd be nice if you had. Now, Daron Harmon, at this time last year, everybody was telling me he was the surefire starter.
Right.
He's penciled in, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah,
I don't know what
guy's catching a lot of heat for jumping over Curse, isn't he?
Yes.
That's still going on.
I see a lot of people.
Is that right?
If he had tripped over his own 2 feet, he wouldn't have caught that ball.
I can't blame him for that, just like I can't blame, you know,
Brian Urlacher for letting Brady
Butler from not taking, you know, a knee. You know, I just can't, in the heat at that moment, I can't say I wouldn't have done the same thing.
Because
you know?
He's probably thinking the ball's going to fall incomplete, and I don't want to get a penalty.
I'm jumping over him so I can avoid any unnecessary contact.
Right.
See, I think the thing – I don't think you'd get an unnecessary contact.
Oh, I don't think if he tried to break up that play, he wouldn't have gotten a penalty.
If he had speared him, he would have.
Yes. Yeah. That's what
but if you just fall and
right,
like –
the ball was still in play at that
you,
point.
You can jump on a guy on the ground in the NFL.
As long as you don't spear
him. You just can't spear him.
Right.
You don't drill him into the ground.
I don't think he had to jump him.
He didn't
could have just fallen on him.
Right.
He didn't
and
have
he would have that would have led
or
to
when
a
he jumped.
But I think the larger question
is, you're not allowed
to
kick the ball.
Well, if you're flying through the air,
he doesn't want to jump on a guy who didn't have the ball. And I think that he didn't realize the ball was going to be caught.
Right.
And that was where the problem came from.
I don't think
from.
Anybody
but
thought the ball was going to be caught.
That's another thing. And Andy brings up a good point because a lot of people say, well, he's going to get a penalty.
No chance. Well, unless Brandon Merriweather's.
Right. And I've seen guys, they go in and they throw their helmet right into a guy on the ground or even try to drill him with a shoulder. Straight, you know, with a guy, it's almost like you're trying to pile drive him right into the ground. That's a penalty.
Right.
But you can jump on a guy on the ground and not get called for a penalty.
Yep.
Even in that league.
James Pettigrew writes in, bonjour les hommes et Eric. I'm so happy the season is
Hello,
over.
Man. And Eric. I had to translate that for Andy.
I'm so happy this. He even said, in parentheses, ask Eric for a translation. I'm so happy the season is over. I may be in a minority, but I always felt football gets in the way of PFW addressing real-life issues. Roll-on nut wizards, soap of the slot, stories from Fred's childhood. In a perfectly contradictory moment, I have a game and a comment. Firstly, with hindsight, were these draft picks good or great? McCourty, 27th overall. Good or great?
Good.
Good.
Yeah, based on the where he was picked. Mayo, 10th overall. Just good.
Well, if my options are good and great, it's not great.
If I don't have another one, I'll go with good if those are my
Hightower,
two options.
Hightower, 25th overall.
Good.
Bordering,
good. To be announced.
Good. Good. Good bordering on great. Yeah, I think he might. He might. Yeah. But what do you think?
He's upper.
You're a linebacker expert. I like to look at Andy Hart for my linebacker.
I'm not leaning as closely to great as it sounds like you are.
But it could become great.
Sure.
Yeah.
I would say good now, but I think he's trending to great.
Lastly, I really want Revis to be a Patriot for the rest of his life and win a few more Super Bowls. The main reason being, and I feel Fred may understand, would there be anything more satisfying than him entering the Hall of Fame as a Patriot with Robert Kraft or Bill giving the speech, the ultimate suck it to the Jets? Absolutely. So that, you know.
Where's the game?
What do you mean, where's the game?
Didn't he say he had a comment in a game?
Maybe it was just that.
Oh, was that the game?
Yeah.
I'm interested in
they were in inverse order there. Okay. I think the game came first.
Game came first, right.
Oh, yeah. That was kind of a game. I hear a lot of people throwing a lot of numbers around for Revis.
A lot of numbers.
No, I do.
Such
like,
as?
You know, just give him what he wants. 3 years, 45, done. I'm not sure that's enough because that's only 15
that
million.
That ain't done if it's Revis.
And then I heard Michael Holly say 50 million guaranteed. Whoa, that was a big jump. We went from 45 total to 50 guaranteed.
That'll probably get it done.
Right.
Revis.
Like, and I don't know.
Well, I read somebody on Twitter today said that they could give Revis a historic, you know, a trend-setting contract and still save millions off their cap this year.
It's not going to be a $25 million cap.
Right, right.
But historic is, it's Peterson right now, right? Or is it Sherman?
I think Peterson is the Peterson, highest. Hayden, and Sherman, but I think Sherman's the lowest of those three. If I'm not mistaken.
I'm pretty sure Peterson is the
what did
the
he
benchmark.
Get?
I don't know.
17.
A lot. Yes. Yeah. It's in that range. I think you start with the range of whatever you do, $16 million a year, and more than half guaranteed.
Guaranteed. Yeah.
So $64 million with 35 guaranteed, something like that. Because I think it's probably going to be in the range of four years. Wouldn't that make
sense? Three or four, I would think.
So, 4 years, $16 million a year, $64 million with 30-something million guaranteed.
I just hope they get it done.
I'm horrible at those estimates. You know, you try to come up with numbers, and I'm just not good at that.
But then they get into the whole guarantees is they make it hard because it's never $32 million signing bonus. Yeah. It'll be a roster bonus in this year,
exactly,
which is actually payable in August. But
the $12 million bonus that's due March 10th, you know, even that is I think it's in four payments.
Well, oh, really?
And I know
if they, you know, I don't think they'll pick it up. As Jonathan Kraft said, it's a placeholder. But if they did pick it up, I think it's like three then.
Well, no,
three
none of it is actually,
well,
I believe, March
flow.
10th.
Yeah.
April 1st, I believe, is the
okay.
first actual
Yeah,
payment.
No, you're right. You're right. It's April 1st.
Just
right.
Kidding. We're not giving you
So
son of a.
That, it makes it even harder when you're dealing with the Patriots because their contracts are always different than seemingly.
Well, it's interesting.
Else's.
Even the Seahawks said they're going to be thinking out of the box for Russell Wilson. I'll be interested to see what that is. Maybe they've come up with a new thing that other teams can use for similar type players. I don't know.
Well, you know, they've revolutionized the training process. So
well, he gets it.
Contracts
but
are
he
next.
Gets it. Russell yeah. gets it. What a condescending thing for a team.
If I was Russell Wilson, as long as that money is in the box, right, you can think all you want.
You do whatever you want with the mumbo jumbo.
Right, right.
You know, if you want to say after a guy signs, you know, if you want to say after Tom Brady's playing for $8 million next year, you know, Tom gets it. He understands it's about putting together the best possible team. That's fine. While I'm in negotiations, I don't want to hear you tell me how I get it.
Right.
And I'm going to take less.
Yeah,
that would really bother me if I were Russell Wilson. I know you're surprised, like something bothers me. I know, I can see the look on your face,
Paul. I'm just picturing Paul in negotiations as a player.
Don't tell me what I get.
Here's the pen, Paul.
Paid.
He's about to sign.
Negotiations have broken down at Foxborough. Paul Perillo was seen leaving the complex
in a huff,
yelling into harumph. The air, but no one was with him,
throwing Diet Pepsi cans.
Oh, I was going to tweet you yesterday. You see, like 10% of the soda market is Diet Pepsi, and I was going to 5% of that is Paul Perillo.
Pepsi Light.
We do need to get, in all seriousness, how come we don't have one of those bottles to recycle down here?
Yeah.
Because he goes through a lot of bottles. We could help the environment.
Yeah, we could.
You know those big JRMs?
A receptacle. Yeah.
Well, it's shaped like a big bottle.
You told me not to get one.
I never told you not to.
You
get
absolutely
one.
Did. You said, "Oh, we're not so sure that they even know we have bottles to recycle."
Actually, I do remember you.
It
saying
doesn't
that.
Matter. Yes, after we're done, true. We have somebody from PR that comes and goes through and looks for cans.
I don't think that's okay.
Well, didn't he eat a sandwich out of the garbage?
Easy. Oh, my
God. I can confirm that. It was my sandwich.
All right, let's get back to the phones. Dan's in Virginia. Hey, Dan.
G'day, fellas.
G'day, mate.
Maybe the bonus for Russell Wilson is a this out of the box is a fine pledge by all his teammates not to sleep with his next girlfriend.
Although they disputed that. Golden Tate did anyway.
But I want to kind of link the Super Bowl to the offseason. Malcolm Butler's play towards the end, he actually made two very heady plays. After he made that play on Kearse, and Kearse still made the catch.
Mm-hmm.
Kearse could have snuck into the end zone for a score, but Butler shoved mm-hmm. him out of bounds. So yep. He kind of showed some recovery there.
He actually made a play before that, too.
Not only did he have to physically make the play, which was difficult, you know, you see his helmet bounce up and down, but, I mean, it seemed like he was only just in there a matter of seconds when he diagnosed the play. And, from that one time they practiced it, he was able to recognize what the Seahawks were doing. And there was an article that came out prior to the Super Bowl, I think it was by Sports Illustrated, talking about how Bill is like Alex Trebek on crack. He's always quizzing the guys, always asking them obscure questions about, you're playing up against so-and-so this week. What did he do in college? What are his tendencies? And I was thinking, does Bill place more of a premium on drafting smart, heady footballers than other coaches? And is that part of the reason why he ends up with these head scratches that don't pan out? They're also looking, why did he draft this guy? Is that possibly part of it?
I mean, I know that they tend to lean toward captains because they think they're more leaders. And that whole thing, football is important to them. I think that's high up on the list.
But I also, they want guys that can digest football. They don't want guys that'll think for themselves. And I don't, that's not a shot. They want guys that'll follow the plan and not question why or how. Why don't we do it this way? Like, you know what I mean? There's a fine line between overthinking and, well, his way is not the right way, so I'm going to do it my way. Right? So right. There's that fine line there.
I think what separates Bill is just that he's better than everybody else. He's a better coach.
Oh, he's back to being a very, very good drafter?
No, but I'm saying what I think he's a much better coach than he is a drafter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yes. That's true.
I don't think that is any kind of player that he looks for specifically that he wants that other teams don't. I think that he does a better job of coaching whatever he has than other teams do. And I think you're talking about 28, 29 guys that aren't even close to him in terms of what he does as a coach. There's a handful of guys that I think are pretty good too, but he's the best. So he might take a smart guy and make him better. And he might take a dumb guy and make him better. I think that doesn't really matter. And I say smart and dumb and just sort of literal. I know that they're not just dumb.
Sure.
Oh, I think some of them I've talked to are.
Just another quick,
it is what it is.
You were bringing up Harmon jumping over Kearse. You're kind of disagreeing, it seems, a little bit on whether or not he would have incurred a penalty. How is that different from when in the Indianapolis game Wilfork kind of came in to clean up a play that I can't remember who it was.
Wilfork hit the guy in the head.
He hit him with his forearm or elbow.
He
dove
right
in the
head. Went for his head with an elbow.
Yeah,
he led with his – and look, Paul's guy, Rodney Harrison, used to do it all the time, but back then it wasn't as looked at as it is now.
Okay.
And he got called for it from time to time.
Yeah.
And he got
– And every time he would complain about it. Mm-hmm.
People also remembered it. It's why he was considered a dirty player. People hated him.
Right.
And then someone, blocked him at the knee, and he thought it was a personal affront.
Well, it was. It was a
dirty
play.
I love Rodney. Yeah.
But, yeah, the quizzes stuff, remember I told you, I don't know if I wrote about it or not. I think I did. Julian Edelman was talking about that.
Thanks,
how he used to, get anxiety early in his career because in the hallway
he said he was in Bill's doghouse for 6 years.
he'd see Bill coming in the hallway, and Bill would ask him some stupid question, and he wouldn't have the answer. And now he feels a little more comfortable that he can actually pass him in the hall and have a response.
And it's your mother every time.
What?
I'm just kidding.
I don't think he says that. Talk about getting in the doghouse.
Can you imagine? It's like, you leave, you go in the cafeteria, you get something to eat or whatever, you turn the corner. Oh, bleep, there's Bill. Go the other way.
But I think there's certain guys now and in the past that, could screw around with Bill.
Oh, yeah.
Get like Mike Vrabel.
Yes.
You know that he could, you know, he just didn't care.
Right.
And, but he was good enough.
So he
and
could
Bill
not care,
knew
right.
that he was doing his job.
I'm sure Rodney
so
could do
he
that
could
too.
Do it. Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
But if like.
If Edelman did it as a
Jonas
rookie,
Gray does yeah. it, he ain't playing.
Right. Maybe he did.
Right. Chris writes in, greetings, PFW, first time writing. I could do a big introduction, but maybe another time.
Okay.
I'm listening to the podcast from Tuesday, and I just wanted to clarify something. The report that indicated that maybe the Colts had something to do with it came from an interview. He's talking about the Deflategate, of course. From an interview with Adam Schefter on EEI. On Friday, February 6th, Adam Schefter said that he knew people, didn't specify who, that believed that the Colts deflated the one ball that Jackson handed to his equipment manager. As you guys were saying, there is no actual proof of anything at this point. One ball, 11 balls, locker room guy, man on the grassy knoll. But I just thought I would drop you guys a line to clarify the origin of the report to which Fred was referring.
Right. Well, he was led to that comment by the hosts. The hosts basically said something like, you know, how do we know the Colts didn't do it or something like that. And then Adam Schefter did say, you know, I know there are some people in the league who believe that. He wasn't reporting it.
Okay.
And by people in the league,
yeah,
it could
be us.
Mean anybody.
Yeah.
Anybody he talks
right.
to. So it was talk radio conversation that was sort of drummed up by the local
yeah. right.
affiliate.
I made the point on Tuesday. I had heard that. I knew of the – I wasn't wondering where the origins were
right.
that the Colts had something to do with this. I simply said, out of all the reports, I don't know which one to believe. All the reports to me are all kind of nonsense, and at some point we'll find out probably nothing because that's generally what happens when the NFL does one of these investigations.
Right.
But my only point was, did it really make a lot of sense? In terms of believability, potential plausibility, does it make any sense that the Colts took the footballs, deflated them, and then ratted out the Patriots for deflating the football?
Yes.
See, I think out of all the reports that I've heard, that one makes the least amount of sense. Doesn't mean it's not true. Doesn't mean it's not accurate. For whatever reason, and I said this on Tuesday, and I stand by it, Jim Irsay should be Donald Sterling if that happens. He should be taking his franchise away from him, and Chuck Pagano should be fired. If they went to that extreme...
I think banned for
to
life.
Try, I agree.
Yeah.
And I'm being dead serious. I'm not trying to be... talk radio wild hot take here. If they did something that egregious to try to besmirch, for lack of a better word, the Patriots, they should be out of football forever.
And by the way, part of the reason you should be out of the football forever is you're a terrible coach. How about you plan to beat them instead of besmirching them, using your word?
Besmirched.
Because if you do it,
I was thinking of Eric.
The actual events after that,
besmirched.
They're not playing with underinflated balls, so they're not gaining an advantage. You're making it look like they are, so the only thing that's going to happen at halftime is they're going to make them play with inflated balls, mm-hmm. which they were already playing with because you took the air out of the balls.
Which is just another reason why I think there's less than 1% chance that that's what happened.
And I would be angry as a Colts fan, owner, whatever. We're spending all this time planning this. Why don't we plan to beat them instead of doing something like this?
Right. Debbie in Tennessee says, great job on the Super Bowl issue of PFW. I got it in the mail yesterday. I love the cover and inside the little photo of Brady and Edelman, SBC Gronk and Butler as the Rudolph Misfits was great. I'm cutting that photo out from my desk. I love the Rudolph TV classic. And now when I see the abominable, I'll think of Gronk. So that's Debbie.
That was a good job, by the way.
It was.
Our production people did a good job on that. Made me laugh.
Good people.
That's right.
Andy in Tampa, what a game. My question is mainly for Paul because he seems to know about this. An emailer last week brought up the Seahawks roughing Ryan Allen on the first drive of the game. As the man mentioned, Chris Collinsworth was adamant it should have been a 15-yard penalty
because he hit
Allen's
really upset
plant
about
leg.
That.
But referees, Paul's favorite people, called it running into the kicker. Therefore, it was only a 5-yard penalty. Since it was 4th and 6, I understand why the Patriots didn't want to go for it on 4th and 1 from their own 41-yard line. But why couldn't the Patriots have tacked on the additional 5 yards at the end of the return? Which special teams plays can they add the additional 5 yards, and which plays can they not? Thanks for all you do, and I look forward to an exciting offseason. No, because it wasn't after the kick. If you take the options were making it 4th and 1 or decline. That was it.
I believe you're correct, and I believe it's when the infraction occurs in terms of the kick.
Right.
And that's as the kick is happening.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't look at the, you know, if I had seen that email before, maybe we could have looked at the rule book to see specifically what it says. But I think what you just said makes a lot of sense.
Right.
Well, yeah, plus the Seahawks didn't have possession of it yet.
Right.
So, it's not like it's at the end of the run. It was mid-kick.
Right. It's during the kick.
It's during the kick.
So
the Seahawks don't yet have possession.
But I have a question, in the rule book, does it actually say if you hit a guy's plant leg or something?
Collinsworth
that's
said
what Collinsworth
that,
said. He was making it out to be that, and he was written that they're right. The email is right. He was adamant
he
about
was.
It.
I'm just glad he noticed.
If the,
not
the
like the
back
illegal
foot
ineligible substitution.
If the back foot is down, that it's automatic. In watching the replay, and I haven't seen a tremendous amount of replays on it, I didn't think it was as egregious as Collinsworth was making it out to be.
But that's why I'm asking if it's black and white. If you
touch
the plant leg or whatever.
I thought it was a penalty.
Because there is that difference of when the leg is up and you pirouette the guy, you hit the leg.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
So I didn't know if there's actual wording in the league book. And
it might be one of those tuck rule things that they don't have any discretion on. That's the way Collinsworth was making it out to be. If you touch that plant leg, it's automatic.
Right.
And he did touch the plant leg.
Oh, yeah. That's why I'm asking.
So maybe it was supposed to be automatically a roughing the kicker, but... if that's the way the rule's written, that's another one that needs to be changed because there was barely contact on that play. There wasn't a lot of contact.
Adam in San Antonio. So since it's now the offseason and it's about the time where some of the pre-draft rankings come out, I decided to browse NFL.com and see if there are any guys that could be potential Patriots 2 months from now. It's funny how you guys influence how we listeners think about certain subjects. Because the first article I came across is Mike Mayock's pre-draft rankings, and instead of looking at what players he has ranked, I scroll through each position until I find out who he has tied for fifth. Sure enough, when I get to offensive tackle, there it is, two players tied for fifth. Same for interior defensive line. So you guys are right. What an indecisive tool. I know it's really early, and we want to continue to celebrate being chance, but is there any player that you are remotely interested in, even if they have no chance of being a Patriot?
It's too early.
Too early?
I can't give my stamp of approval yet.
Over the course of next week, you'll have some guys.
Oh, I will be feeling much, much different next week, and then once we get into the video
process. Who was the receiver from, was it Alabama?
Yeah, Cooper.
Amari Cooper.
He's the best receiver in the draft, pretty much unanimously. I'm more intrigued by this jerk out of Oklahoma or Missouri.
Oh, the big guy?
Yeah.
What's his name?
Green Beckham.
Green Beckham.
Green Beckham.
Now, but Mayock, our lad says Amari Cooper as the top wide receiver. Mayock has Kevin White from West Virginia.
Of course he does.
Just trying to be different.
Yeah. And I really don't understand it. If he has these issues, just do, a just missed or.
Well,
honorable mention?
Don't make it top five. Just say, here are my top players in each position.
What I don't understand about Mayock is he has this lengthy thing he wrote last week about. Mariota, and he says, I can't tell you right now if this guy's going to translate to the NFL.
No, because he has to wait to see what everybody tells him.
I've watched all his tape, and I have no opinion. Yet he makes him the number two quarterback behind Winston.
That's an opinion.
To play in the NFL.
Right.
Yeah.
That's
an opinion.
Well, the only thing about that, and I'm not trying to defend Mayock, but maybe he knows that three through whatever can't.
Okay.
And he's not sure about Mariota, so he's two.
All right. Maybe.
But my point that I take away from that is, I'll let you know after I talk to Bill and John Harbaugh and all the other guys around the NFL that will talk to me, and then I'll make it off as soon as he gets drafted. Like I said, like he always does. You don't have to be right. No one is right about every evaluation. Mel Kiper gets a lot of stuff wrong, but you can't say that Mel Kiper's afraid to give his opinion.
Yeah.
Right?
That's true.
I mean, Todd McShay, no one gets every evaluation right. It's just like the team's drafting. They don't get it right, so why should the guys analyzing draft picks get it right every time? Of course not. But that, to me, is a lousy cop-out by Mayock. Don't you think that's – what's his job? He can't watch –
And by the way,
he's
he works for the NFL Network.
He's a professional.
NFL Network.
He can't watch tape and tell you if he can do this or that.
If you can only tell me about college football, then go do your Notre Dame thing and talk college football. Yeah, like, I'd be fine if – Blackledge. Like, he covers college football. That's what he does. And he says, you know what? He's a great college. I don't watch enough, NFL today to tell you. But Mayock is an NFL Network analyst. That is what he is supposed to do.
Who does
tell
some
me if
college
the guy
stuff.
Right.
You know what?
Tell me if the guy can translate or not.
And I'd be fine if he hadn't watched, if he said, you know what? I haven't watched enough film on the guy. He's telling you, according to Freddie,
I've watched every game.
I've watched all this film. Right. And you can't make a determination of whether or not his skill set translates?
Fraud. He's afraid to be wrong.
He's afraid to be wrong, exactly. Mm-hmm. And he'll
wait
till everybody
like
tells
us.
Him.
We're never afraid to be wrong.
Right. Yeah, my God. Like, oh, for life.
Janesh from Charlotte is the person who bought us lunch today or is buying us lunch today. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
He writes in. He says, hope you guys enjoy lunch. It only took 3 emails. You can thank Andy for tweeting me on it. Kevin, you need to get better at your job.
I've been telling him for years.
Kevin's not listening.
Of course he's not. That's why we know
he is. He's got his
told you.
He's got his do your job. No, he's got his throwback pom pom hat.
He doesn't care because he gets a free lunch either day, whether he mooches off you guys or the listeners.
What is everyone's thoughts on upgrading the third cornerback position as the third highest priority after extending Revis and signing McCurdy? Or do you feel that Malcolm Butler can make the infamous 2-year jump and be that player we saw in the Super Bowl? Both Seattle and Green Bay exposed the Patriots' D, and both games almost resulted in a loss last season. Well, Green Bay did, if not for a miracle play by, ironically, the third cornerback.
Yeah, I'm not as down as Kyle Arrington as a lot of people are coming off the Super Bowl. I think he had a pretty good year.
Well, I think he had a pretty good year, too.
You have to avoid him getting mismatched.
Right.
How do you do that?
Now, I think we could put...
When you see a 6'5 receiver on the field and say... He has trouble with some of those bigger receivers. Or when you get him on the outside against those guys, it's bad.
Yep.
That's your job as a coach.
And I easily think that if they had, to Andy's point, I think they could have accomplished the same thing in the Super Bowl by just switching Arrington and Browner.
Correct.
If Arrington stays on the field, listen, I'm not saying that he's going to make all the plays that Butler did, because, my God, he was out there for 18 snaps. And on 9 of them, he made great plays.
Right.
I mean, he was tremendous. So I'm not saying Arrington would have done all that. But the problem, as Andy said, was the size problem. And once Browner went on Matthews, I think he only caught one more pass. And they sort of said, all right, well, we don't have that mismatch anymore in size. I think Arrington probably would have been fine. Mm. Playing.
Didn't you think he had a good year?
Arrington, yeah.
As a sum.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, I can't be more impressed with what he did to T.Y. Hilton. I think T.Y. Hilton's a pretty good receiver. I don't think he's not Dez Bryant, Demaryius Thomas, one of those guys. But in terms of that second level, he's a really, really good receiver.
He can hurt you.
And he made him a mere afterthought in both games.
Yep.
He was part of it in the first game. I wouldn't say it was all him. He was pretty much all him in the playoff game.
He
covered him a lot.
I used to think Arrington was grossly overpaid. I think he's fine kind of where he is right now, whatever it is, $4 million.
But I do think that they need some depth in the secondary, and the debrief that we had about the pre-combine meeting that we had, Bob Soucy brought that up. Taking away the re-signings, because we all realize that Revis and McCourty, those guys, that's right now that's the priority. And then we talked about the draft needs, both lines. I would say that some depth in the secondary is one of their higher secondary needs.
Well, now that Dennard is...
If Dennard, and they know more about Dennard than we do, but I don't have a lot of hope based on the way it ended for Dennard. Logan Ryan, to me, is what he is. He's sort of an inconsistent, Darius Butler type. He'll make some plays, and he's going to give up some plays. I don't think he's, quote-unquote, that good. And
I think less of him than that.
And Arrington is... sort of one of those guys that, he has some great performances and some not great performances. They need some help, I think, in their secondary cover guys.
If they re-sign McCourty and Revis, I'm fine with this.
What about if everything stayed the same in the defensive backfield and they just focused on pass rush?
Oh, sure. That would be a huge help.
Yeah.
Sure.
That's why I picked Justin Houston out of those 5 guys.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just think when you're talking about your fifth or sixth defensive back, you're feeling
all
pretty good.
Teams are pretty
you're
weak.
Feeling
then,
pretty good
right?
if you're.
We've spent enough years
looking for one and two.
It's almost like the kid in Little League that you put in right field.
Right.
It depends. Where did he live?
Oh, right. Is he in our district?
What a despicable story. You know what the most despicable thing is? The fact that they're trying to defend it at all. Well, the fact that they're trying to make it out to be a race thing.
Oh, that's crazy.
That's the most despicable thing.
You know, they were cheating. End of story. End of story.
But they all cheat.
Well, and when they do, they get
you
called
see his
on
face
it.
There for a minute.
No, but if you cheat and you get caught, you're in trouble.
I tell you the stories when I go to the meetings. I could see what happened in Chicago because I go to these meetings in Peabody. I know how important this is to some adults. It's ridiculous.
They had summer ball back in the day, and I remember. His kid didn't get picked, and his kid was pretty good, and it was a political thing.
Started his own team.
Started his own team.
That's another tried and true method.
Yeah. Yep.
Kevin writes
in. Team, I'll buy the uniforms myself. I'll pay for it.
Yep.
Seems like a lot of work.
I'll pay for it.
I would just tell my son, hey, you weren't good enough.
Yeah, let's go play soccer.
Right. Find a different sport.
Kevin is a first-time emailer. He says, I've been a diehard Patriots fan for half of my 28 years on this planet. I will always have the image of Adam Vinatieri kicking those field goals through the snow embedded in my mind. From that moment, I was hooked. However, I remember as a child, the first Super Bowl I ever watched was in 1997. My parents took me to a Super Bowl party, and everyone there was going for some guy named Brett Favre. Me, being the rebellious type of child and not knowing what the hell a Packer was, decided to go for the Patriots. So maybe you could say my connection to the Patriots started there. I discovered your podcast after our last glorious win in Arizona. Thank you for helping me relive that experience over and over. I can't wait to listen to all of your analysis for the upcoming season. While I listened to your podcast from yesterday, when did he send this? I don't know.
Wednesday.
I was struck by one particular discussion you guys brought up. Would you trade the 18-1 season for this Super Bowl, Samuel for Butler? I agree with you all that a perfect season would be far more special, but let me ask you this. Would you rather have the perfect season or repeat as champions? I believe most of you would rather have the latter. Aren't back-to-back champions more impressive than 19-0?
Nope. No.
It isn't. I know this is a hypothetical.
How many times has 19-0 happened?
Never.
Yeah. How many times has back-to-back champions happened?
Right.
Eight? Lots.
Many.
Right.
Many.
8 or 9?
Yeah.
So
I'd still go for the 19.
I would too.
Yeah, that's just the way it goes.
What happened?
What?
Eric's got a toad on his pizza.
In my pizza.
Oh, pizza. I was complaining about his free lunch.
I'm not complaining.
Still
Paul, Paul usually loves the way it looks. So,
Stinker in Florida writes in. I've really enjoyed the stories of callers regarding their experience during the last minutes of Super Bowl. Here's mine. I must admit, I didn't have the cojones to watch the ending. After the curse catch, I put it on pause after the catch. I couldn't handle another heart rip from my chest. I've been unable to watch the Tyree catch until now. I waited for a while and kept updating ESPN website for the final score, but it was stuck on 20 seconds remaining forever. Couldn't figure out what was going on. Finally, the score said final. I raised my hands and shouted, yes, and watched the rest of the game. My wife asked if I was happy. I said, more relieved. This was the first Super Bowl I watched by myself. I really was not prepared to lose after the previous 2 weeks and two previous heartbreakers. It's all good now, and I still drift off to sleep rethinking the game.
See, so that's a person that's clearly on your side, Fred, who not only prefers blowouts,
right.
Can't handle
he
it
can't
if it's
handle
not.
It. Right.
Because that, I mean, that is the ultimate sports moment. I mean, yes, you could have lost and all that. But that gave you that high. The low brought you the high.
It did. It certainly did.
I had one of my friends. He said that when Curse made the catch, he got really upset, and he left the room where the TV was. He was out in the kitchen, only to be brought back in by what he called a blood-curdling scream from his wife when Butler and was in the middle of a party. It wasn't like it was just his family there.
Just being antisocial.
He was so mad that he went and pouted into the kitchen, pulling a Paul. And he's off by himself, and then his wife started screaming when Butler intercepted the pass, and he didn't believe it. He just didn't believe it, and he came running back in.
All right, food's here, courtesy of Janesh. Thank you very much for that. We'll be right back after this.
Hey, what kind of sub is that?
It's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami.
Subway Big Hot Pastrami?
No, pastrami.
Pastrami!
What? Hey, get back here! Pastrami!
No, pastrami!
Look, it's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami!
Want to split it?
A little late for that.
Get your own Subway Big Hot Pastrami Melt, a monument of flavor loaded with dry rub, pepper-crusted beef, and melty cheese. Enjoy yours with mustard and pickles. Subway, eat fresh.
Limited time only at participating restaurants.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or tri-corner hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie, 3 Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Xbox One is not only a game console, but the home entertainment system every fantasy football fan needs. The NFL on Xbox One is your connection to all things fantasy, giving you personalized news, highlights, stats, and scores instantly on your TV. Watching your favorite team play on Sunday, but wondering how your fantasy players are doing? With built-in fantasy football, track your updates on TV in real time across NFL.com fantasy leagues, all while still watching live games. Xbox One, bringing fantasy football to your TV. Now available for $349 at a Microsoft store near you.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it into hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime, message, and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, and much more, including Pro Shop exclusives and sideline gear from Adidas, Nike, and New Era. The Pro Shop is located next to Gillette Stadium and is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop, your team, your store.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
And now, great moments in PFW in progress history.
If anyone has used the contraption called the Nut Wizard, I need to know that.
Excuse me?
Yeah, it's called the Nut Wizard. I think you can find it at nutwizard.com. It's not what you think. It's for picking up, like, acorns in your yard. I have a ton of acorns, so I'm looking for the best way to pick up acorns in my yard without breaking my back, you know? So I saw this thing. It's like a cage with spokes, and you roll it, and supposedly it just picks up the acorns, but I want to, before I, it's like $49.
It's so ridiculous.
I don't want to buy it, you know, if it only works half the time or whatever, or if someone has a better way to pick up acorns.
That's another great moment from PFW in progress.
All right, back here at PFW in progress. Do you know that ever since I did get the Nut Wizard, I haven't had a need to use it? You know, the oak tree haven't been producing ever since then. It's unbelievable.
I've noticed my backyard. I have a bunch of maple trees in my backyard. And there were some summers, or a fall, I should say, when the lawn is full of acorns.
Yep.
And I haven't had that problem in, like, 4 or 5 years.
It's weird, isn't it? Yeah. And my and as a result, my chipmunk and squirrel population has also gone down, which is nice.
I still have a ton of those.
Chipmunks galore.
I thought that was due to the Red Rider double pump, whatever that you got.
No, I don't shoot those little animals. Come on now.
Come on now.
So the Nut Wizard and the elliptical have something in common.
They've
really not been used.
Back here in the emails, web radio,
that girl does look like
com.
She's, I mean, maybe 18, 19
yeah,
tops.
She's so young. Fox Sports 1.
Not Jane Seymour. She's like 60.
You worked up yet, Fred?
What's
her? It's her time of year where she tells us what love is.
Heart.
And
piece of crap.
Who are you?
Yeah.
That was a legendary.
Who are you to tell me what the symbol of love is?
It's a legendary Fred rant.
She's hoping that her design becomes a symbol. That's very, very
pretentious.
Pretentious.
And she doesn't know when to let it go. It's like when we tried to name the secondary. Okay, it didn't catch on, so we let it go. She won't let it. This is year after year. No one gives a rat's ass about your stupid little symbol, right?
Yeah, well, I would guess that it's actually, unlike, you know, the island.
She gets paid?
Yeah, she's getting paid for it, so it probably is working for her.
Ricky, although Jane Seymour in Live and Let Die with Roger Moore, that Bond movie.
Oh, in her
Smoke
day?
Smoke show.
In her day?
Smoke
big fan.
Show.
Ricky
writes in, I had some time to digest the Super Bowl win. It seems to me that you guys and everyone else has taken the assumption that given the chance that Lynch would have simply motored his way into the Patriots end zone. Since it didn't happen, we'll never know. Who is to say that the Patriots could not shut him down for no gain or even a loss? Who is to say that any number of events could have taken place? Granted, I was at first surprised at the call. However, that quick slant play was and still is a very lethal and safe call. If it works, it's a bang-bang play, game over. However, Butler smelled it out and made the play that will go down as the greatest pick of all time. Nothing comes close. I guess I'm tired of hearing that the Seahawks lost the game and not that the Patriots won the game.
Well, I think we're talking about percentages here. The likelihood is that Lynch would have run it in. I mean, more often than not, you give him the ball in that situation, he's going to score.
Right.
Sure, there's a chance that, you know,
he could
there's a fumble,
stop him.
There's a goal line stand.
Right.
Obviously.
Right.
And as was the case, there was a turnover.
Yeah.
They got the interception. And you're right, that play too, if Butler doesn't have the heads-up moment, that's a touchdown.
Right.
And the game's over, probably over.
Yep.
I just continue to fall back on, who are you? What do you do? You're the Seahawks. You run the ball. You're the Patriots. You throw the ball. Because
right.
I have receiver. This is what we do. This is who I am. This
right.
is our core.
Yep.
The other thing that I'm so sick of, too, is the only way I can get three plays is to throw on one of them. You don't need three plays. You need one play. score. And by the way, it wasn't your only play. You could have run another play. So you were going to get at least two plays. Why do you need three? Are you that lacking confidence that we're not going to score on the first two, so I need the third?
And that's not even to take exception with, I think 26 seconds was enough time to get three plays in, even if he ran it. But I'm not going to quibble.
Why are we fixating on three plays?
Because here's where the contradiction comes in. And this is what happens when you have a babbling buffoon making the choice. And I'm not saying he can't coach.
That just became harsh.
No, but I'm telling you, this was like a bad Vietnam flashback listening to him post-game.
Bill said you're not qualified to criticize.
No, I know. Him. I understand that. And I will submit that I am not qualified to do that.
No, but I actually think you're quite qualified.
But I can.
You're a football analyst, and you've been a football analyst for 15 years. Those are called qualifications.
No, but what I'm saying is I might not be qualified to tell you the X's and O's of what he did right or wrong. But I am qualified to assess his explanation. And that's what I'm doing by calling him a babbling buffoon. To your point, Andy.
A little harsh.
Why do you need three? No, well, you know, it was going to work until it didn't. I mean, that's a babbling buffoon. That's what he said. I'm quoting him. It was a wonderful play. It was a great play until it didn't work. Thanks. Because you know what? I'm not qualified to say that didn't make any sense. But to your point, Andy, about why are we thinking in terms of three plays, part of your rambling explanation was we're not throwing the ball expecting an interception to happen. So why would we be running the ball expecting us not to get into the end zone?
Not to get 18 inches.
Right?
Right.
It's contradictory. And I'm sorry, you don't have to be a football expert to be able to make that observation. He contradicted himself in the span of two sentences. I'm telling you, it was
to do the voice.
Because it brought back a lot of bad crap for me, like that first year working for Freddie and having to listen to that incoherent babble
Now this is emotional. You think he basically ran the Bledsoe Patriots into the ground, and if they had a good coach, would have gone to the Super Bowl. Drew would be thought of greater. This is a Drew thing with you.
About it drafting.
It has nothing to do with Drew. That's because I actually think the problem with the 97 through 99 Patriots was not Pete Carroll. It was Bobby Greer and the way the whole hierarchy was
set
up.
Where's his voice?
I don't know.
You don't have a voice?
He can't talk until Kevin Mannix gets here. I'll tell you that.
What does that mean?
We had a little get-together, and he wouldn't start talking until Kevin Mannix was there in Carolina. Fact, not opinion.
All right. Andrew in Tempe, Arizona writes in. Hey, there's a lot of pentos.
Fred, you remember the draft picks as well as I do.
Oh, they're terrible. I mean, you know, Chris Canty.
But all of them.
Chris Canty's really. I'm not talking about the defensive lineman, Chris Canty.
Brandon Mitchell, Chris Canty, Damon Denson, Scott Raber.
It was Tabucky Jones in the first round.
Tabucky Jones. I mean, he had literally.
I think that was a Pete pick.
Out of three drafts, they had two or three.
Kevin Falk was a
good
pick.
Yep. Out of three full drafts. And some of those had extra picks like we do now all the time because we got the picks for Parcells.
Right.
Give a sneak preview about the thing we did today. We shot. I have a little Jay Cutler comment in there. But they're showing old Jay Cutler stuff. He looks like a druggie at the podium. Like baggy eyes, dark below his eyes, hair all... Like, can you imagine... Hey, Josh McDaniels. Can you imagine that guy, though, as the face of your franchise, the guy you're going to hand $100 million to, and you're like, I wouldn't trust him with my car keys.
Right. Andrew in Tempe, Arizona writes in, hey, guys, I'm wondering if you could settle an argument for me. My friend and I were arguing about the Patriots' running game in the Super Bowl. He was arguing that the Patriots didn't have an effective running game because they were playing with their backup running backs. He argued that if Ridley had been in the game, then the running game would have been at least moderately successful. I argued that it didn't matter who you put in there. The Patriots are not going to run on Seattle. Who wins?
I think you win.
I think the latter.
I think
you're both a little right, though. I think Ridley's a little quicker and a little more dynamic in that, you know, first wave at the line of scrimmage.
Yeah.
Takes Blunt a little more time to get going. But you weren't going to run the ball to victory against Seattle,
and, you know,
with whoever you had.
Have, over the course of the last 2 years, have Seattle stop better running backs than Stephen Ridley?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, I don't think it would have made that much of a difference.
But I'm just saying, I think you could have made an argument that if he were healthy, it might have been a Ridley opportunity day because of his ability to get there a little quicker. But
maybe, but
marginal addition to the success.
Plus, when they get down 10 points, you have to start throwing the ball anyway.
Well, yeah,
so
then you're putting it away. You know.
Yeah, and I agree that it probably wouldn't have made that much of a difference, but that's not really the accurate thing because how many teams that they shut down better running backs than Ridley had Brady, too?
Yeah.
You know, they didn't shut down DeMarco Murray, who had Romo throwing the ball to Dez Bryant and that threat with Witten and all that stuff. Brady, you know, it's easier to shut down a good running back if it's Adrian Peterson.
Yeah, because that's all they have.
Because that's all they have. And I'm not saying that Seattle wouldn't have shut down Stephen Ridley. I think they would have, but it's not necessarily apples to apples.
Chase in Orlando, the week of the Super Bowl, you guys had a conversation about playing to win versus playing to see who's best. I've had numerous people joke to me about Spygate, Deflategate, lucky interceptions, Seahawks were injured, Carroll lost the game, et cetera, et cetera. My only response is four rings. The Patriots are champs, biatch. It's okay to play to see who's best, but it's also okay to play to win. If you want to play to see who's better, that's fine. Just don't complain when you lose or criticize me for wanting to win.
I don't remember having that argument.
I don't either.
Got a little Vince Lombardi, though. Winning isn't everything. It's the only thing. Although, but I still say, I mean, at what cost? We must have been talking about cheating and some of that.
Oh, because I have no idea what we were talking about.
Because, I get back to the last Boy Scout. If a guy pulls out a gun on the field and shoots somebody and wins, does that mean, like, woohoo,
yeah,
we won?
Patriots have had plenty of games, including a Super Bowl, where they weren't 100% in terms of their weapons. You know, Gronkowski being on one leg in 11, and that's just the way it is. That's football.
Okay, but now, and I'm not saying that I'm buying this, but just to play devil's advocate, not wanting to start a fight, do you believe the Patriots would have won the Super Bowl in 2011 if Gronk were healthy?
I do.
I do, too.
But
so there's no
but
reason.
I don't, but, that,
but there's
that's
no reason,
not why I'm upset at that
no, no,
game.
No, no, no. But what I'm saying is there's no reason for Seattle not to feel the same way. Seattle fans.
No, but
probably
I would
feel
but
like
I
if
would
their
never,
secondary was
but,
healthy,
but
Brady wouldn't have thrown for 350
but in
yards.
But arguing with a Giants fan, I would never say, well, if Gronk was healthy, we would have won.
But that's what you feel.
But
what difference does it make who you are?
He's
with?
Talking about arguing with fans, and I wouldn't do that.
Why wouldn't you if you believe that?
Because that's football. Because there's so many cases of you being on the good side of injury and being on the bad side of injury.
I'm just saying.
There's no point in arguing that because there's always.
I get you. The larger point too is, this is what Fred and I try to explain to people before the game. Like they everybody wanted to win so it would shut up the naysayers. I wanted to win just to win the fourth ring. And
right.
and all that stuff. I knew it wasn't going to shut up the naysayers.
You're right.
And it won't.
It won't. You just have something to throw back at them.
Exactly.
Yeah. JD writes, happy to spend another lunch with you guys. Two questions today. One, will we target Larry Fitzgerald in free agency as a number one receiver? I hear he's unhappy in Arizona, and his inflated price tag will command some sort of action. I think he's an elite talent, and his leadership could bring an edge to our receiving core the same way Revis's and Browner's presence elevated our secondary to an elite level. That's his first question.
No.
We all think they should take a run at him.
Yeah, but it's not like Revis.
But I don't think he becomes a number one receiver.
You don't need to be revolutionized.
Yeah, no.
You don't need to be transformed.
He's not transformed.
You already have
right.
a great passing offense.
Right.
You're going to have a great passing offense next year with or without Larry Fitzgerald. You could be better. You could be even better. But he is not, I mean, this isn't Randy Moss coming in 2007.
Right.
This is a guy coming in to be a part of something. I also don't know that he's unhappy there. It's a money thing.
Yeah.
I don't think he hates the Cardinals.
I think it's part of it, though. I think he's a little frustrated.
His usage, yeah. maybe, a little frustrated at that.
I think his
and
usage
not having
is like
a,
what Paul said.
Well, not having a quarterback.
I think he also maybe felt frustrated this year because it looked like the Cardinals were going to be the team in the NFC.
Yeah,
and then it collapsed at the end there. So maybe
that could happen here. If he comes here and Brady gets hurt, it's going to collapse here, too.
Yeah, and I don't think that he's unhappy, you know, to use that word, unhappy. And that I agree with you, Andy, on that. But I do think that he is less willing, based on some of the reports. I think Bidwell spoke this week saying how that's one of their priorities and this is what they want to do. But it takes two sides. In the inference there, that the person that wrote the story in Arizona, I think it might have been our buddy
Somers?
I think it might have been him. I don't know. One of those guys, and I don't know if it was him. He might. I forget who it was. It's not that important. But just that he's sort of been – he took it as they were laying down the gauntlet there saying, you know, if he wants – I think it's a $23 million cap hit.
Yes.
And if he wants to be back and he really wants to be part of a winner the way he says he is, then he'll play ball. and because he's been paid pretty highly, the last several years, and if he really wants to be part of a winner, they have a good team.
But Larry gets it.
But yeah, he didn't say Larry gets it. One of those, I don't want to say which one. One of those Arizona writers passed away recently, and I'm not sure which one it was.
The Goldberg guy?
No, he was an AP guy.
Yeah, I'm not talking about. I'm talking about an Arizona Cardinals writer.
All
sure
I remember is
one.
Kurt Sumners or Sommers.
Kent Sumners.
Kent. I don't remember Kurt.
JD's second question. Do you know if Jim Irsay's probation officer let him take off the ankle break bracelet to go to the Super Bowl? It's kind of a shot there.
Kind of.
But I let that in. It's okay. Because he was part of the conspiracy.
And more importantly, more importantly, if I'm going to hold the Patriots to a certain standard, you were punished, you first by gate, well, he's been punished. It's a record of fact, right? He was pulled over. He had pills. It's not like you're fluffing anything up. There are facts in his history that he needs to own.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yep.
I don't find that really. I mean, yes, you're joking about it, but it's fact.
Did you hear Fred? Fred said John Clayton reported that Le'Veon Bell is going to get suspended for the first two games.
He's expected to miss the first two
games. That's the Thursday night opener.
Right.
Pittsburgh
guaranteed
Steelers.
Now.
Why is Le'Veon Bell getting suspended?
Because of that marijuana bust.
So is LeGarrette Blunt getting suspended?
He's on the Patriots.
Mentioned
he's
him
not
in
on
the
Pittsburgh
article.
Anymore.
Mentioned him in the article, but did not mention that he's expected to get anything.
And how come Alphonso Denner didn't get suspended? I mean, it didn't matter.
He's on the Patriots. He's not in the active roster. He ended the season on IR, but he is still property of the Patriots. Do you not get these things?
I know maybe there was a difference in who had what or something, but Blunt got in trouble. He had to serve his community service.
He did. He had community service.
Yeah. So there was a legal. I mean, this one feels like Paul's right.
Yeah.
The Patriot doesn't get suspended. Everybody else does.
That's according to John Clayton. So.
Wow. I mean, that's fine. That's,
man.
Yeah, it's good for the Patriots.
See, there's a car in the parking lot with a flat tire. Would not want to change a flat tire right now.
It's not
license
Lexus,
plate NE9269.
Not mine.
It's Gronk's.
Oh,
NE69. It's Gronk's.
I'm sure I know my license plate.
I know that I have a C in mine, so if I don't hear a C, it's not mine.
That's just funny. I don't even know why it's funny, but he makes me laugh. I know he got a C in mine.
It's true humor. It's Freddie's true comic brilliance.
He lives in his own.
Do you know your license plate? Or you...
Not necessarily. I'd know it if I heard it. But
I don't know mine either, but I know the. Yeah.
You
I know
really
the
don't
rough,
your license plate?
I know the rough combinations.
We're not Rhode Island where there's only four license plates. You have
yours
three,
is
or four.
E-Scal, so it's no, easy it's, to remember.
No, it's not.
Rhode Island E-Scal.
Yours is douchebag in driver's seat.
No, we have five or six digits. You guys have the same thing, right?
No, it's six, but it's letters
and letters and numbers. Yeah. I roughly
well,
know
so is
mine,
ours. It's not just all numbers or all letters.
When I originally bought my first car, like in the early 90s, I got 121, the number 121, TWO, 1212.
Wow.
And then it was one of the old green license plates, and you had to get it changed over to red, and I couldn't keep
it. They wouldn't let you keep it? That's
and it wasn't a vanity plate.
Yeah.
It just, that's the number I got.
Wow.
We're getting new license plates in Rhode Island. They're hideous.
Get a Patriots one.
Are those the ones you get?
No, no, they're solid like an ocean blue kind of,
yeah,
with a tiny little sailboat up in the corner and yellow letters or yellow numbers. Yeah,
that's wouldn't kinda... that be hard to see?
Yeah,
on blue.
Come on, you actually hit me with it that time.
Too bad you hit us
every time.
Speaking of yellow letters, what are they doing out here at the One Patriot Place?
Oh, the one is all different colors.
Yeah, are they like trying to figure out what looks good?
Maybe. I don't know.
Where?
I've stopped asking questions.
When you come in?
Where it says One Patriot Place on that big, strange.
There's some poor guy up there in like minus 27 wind chill.
Seems like they're working on that constantly.
Yeah, they are.
And I hate. What is going on? Don't you hire, like, well-paid architects that know this stuff? Oh, you know, the blue won't pop on the gray, or the gray won't pop on... Shouldn't they know this, not the hunt-and-peck method? Let's put up all the colors and see which works.
What do we got in store for the lobby, Freddie?
They're going to have to add to it.
We're going to expand to this place?
People who have never been to Patriot Place. In the reception lobby, we have three sort of alcoves for each Super Bowl, one for each Super Bowl. We're going to have to add a fourth.
Yeah, as Andy and Paul said when they designed that, redesigned
it. I never understood why they didn't have one that was like UMass football that we could tear out and put.
Lacrosse.
Know. Right, well, they do have one in the corner, but it's you wouldn't want to put it there because it's tucked away.
Now, what about...
you needed expansion.
What about the hall at Patriot Place? I'm going to have to
Presented by Raytheon. With Brian Morey, the executive director of
Is the hall open?
at Patriot Place.
Presented by Raytheon. Right?
I don't want to argue Brian.
One of the architects, we are looking at redoing the whole Super Bowl area.
I would hope so. You got to. He's waving his arms wildly now.
He's waxing on and off.
He just did Then he did the Berman.
We have tomorrow off.
Yeah, but we're coming in anyway.
You're making Brian come in?
He's coming in anyway. Actually, that meeting is Monday. I have something to do tomorrow. I'm coming in.
Monday's a holiday.
I have to look at my schedule. There's a meeting coming up.
And Andy and I are going to Indianapolis on Tuesday. I'm out.
And we'll be stuck in a blizzard for the next 10 days.
Simone writes in. I wanted to know if it was possible to get lunch for you guys someday.
Yes.
If this nitwit would take your damn order.
Take note, Simone. I'm way too nervous to call to the radio show as it sounded when I called Tuesday. Haha. I'll stick to emails for now, but I enjoy your show very much and wanted to do this for you. So let me know how I can do it. All right, Kevin.
Kevin, take that email from Simone.
You have one job.
I already did.
All right.
Do your job.
You didn't see the email of me emailing?
Do your job.
By the way, these $30 hats that he's got one of us on his head, my son was running.
Those are $30?
Really?
The ball just fell off.
They come off very, very easily. My cat's been through two of the pom-poms.
See, I can see a cat. At least a cat ripped it off. My son was running. Hat. Lucky I didn't pay
Didn't
need
the hat. Just took the pom-pom off. Beth was able to reattach one of them.
Hey, I was looking at my call board here, or whatever you want to call it.
The Comrex.
My Comrex stack. And Miguel from Pat's
camp?
Yeah,
yes.
He was
Miguel
on
was
line.
On and off.
He hung up. He hung up.
But he did say he is now trying to listen to us on his lunch hour and wants to participate.
That's good. Well, sometimes when we say stupid stuff, like I was right the other day, March 10th, Solder becomes guaranteed.
Right.
My first instinct was correct.
I
want him to dig a little deeper on the...
Deeper dive?
If you're listening, Miguel, the Gerard Mayo contract and the injury guarantee of his salary
$4.5 million.
So can we pass him on a physical this week and cut him, or how does that work? And
At what point?
Yeah.
So Miguel, maybe I know you're working at this time of day. Maybe you can call back. If not, we'll get you on Tuesday. Let's go to Joey Seep, who's writing in, calling in.
Is it Joey Feep?
It's me, Paul. How you doing?
Hey, Joey.
Sorry, we have idiots at work here, Joey.
I blame this one on Fred. I know what it
says. Joey
I know what it says.
Turn your mic
You've been
on,
doing
Brad.
This for 15 years. You know it's Joey Feep.
I've been listening to you guys for 15 years. It's awesome.
You haven't called in a while, though.
Well, you know, I wanted to bask in the glow for a couple of days and listen to all the people call in and, you know, get a feel for how things are going. But we're world champions again.
Woo!
Greatest game I ever saw.
That's true.
Yeah,
it's a very good
It's certainly
game.
Up there.
Yep. It's one of the best games. It might be the best game I've ever been to.
It was a great game. What I wanted to talk about, to give you a take on, I get the opportunity. I drive for a living, a semi. And I go in and out of Spokane, Washington, Seattle all the time. I go all over the country. But I'm up there a lot of the time. If this, the hatred for the Patriots has taken on mythic proportions, it's like Holocaust deniers. It's like people that deny evolution. The Patriots cheat. It's so awesome. I love it.
And it's only going to grow. It's only going to continue because, I mean, I could see I would be very angry at the Patriots if I were not a Patriots fan. I mean, it is kind of re-goddamn-diculous. Like, Brady goes on forever. He's not getting old. He's not fading. Belichick's going on forever. It's been, like, this. It's stupid. It's stupid.
You would hate the Patriots
like the
anyway.
Used to be. Or the
exactly, and I hated those teams
much. I mean, for us,
I hated
it's a reign
Pittsburgh.
Of glory.
I hated,
for them, it's a reign of terror.
I hated Pittsburgh in the '70s. I hated Dallas. I hated San Francisco in the '80s. Now, just intensify that hatred if you thought there were some stories out there that they may be bending rules. Now we're finding out about like Pittsburgh. It was a drug-addled team that was all on steroids. If you knew that at the time. Think about how much more you would have hated them.
Yeah, it's just amazing. The stories I get I can bring up a couple. If I bring up the Patriots, I get one of two things. Either this team cheats and everything that they've gotten is by cheating, or it's a guy that says, oh, I love the Patriots. My name's Bobby from Storm Squad.
Sully. Sully. Don't forget Sully and Obi.
Yeah. Or whatever Fred said the other day.
Squantum.
Squantum. From Squantum. You know, it's like, I'm sorry, my name's
I don't even
Bobby
know what Squantum is.
And I love the Patriots. It was just a fantastic game from start to finish. It just was an awesome experience.
It was.
And that pick at the end was just the icing on the cake. It was so beautiful. I want to thank you guys for 15 years. You give us the best show week after week after week. It's funny. It's enlightening. It's informative. You guys do just a fantastic job. And I want to tell you how much we all appreciate it.
Wow. Thanks, Joey.
Thank you.
And we appreciate all of you.
Thank
you,
Joey. Since the beginning, since
kinda
the Walcott Park South days.
Like we're
ending
or we're going away.
We're not John Stewart. We're not going anywhere.
Title meant a lot to a lot of people.
Yeah, I think people wax poetic and get
this
sentimental.
This title meant a lot to a lot of people.
I know how they can really wax poetic. Call Kevin. Put yourself in line for a lunch. That's what means the most to us.
Speaking of the Bobby from Squantum, that comes from back in the day, my buddies and I had this routine where, you know how, like, women at work talk about each other. Oh, she got a new pocketbook and all this stuff. We had the opposite. We had the construction guys, and they're talking. Bobby got new boots. Oh yeah, yeah. And then Tony got a new truck. Where did you get that money? You know. And then we had this whole routine about guys in the construction site talking about each other.
Where's Squantum?
It's in Mass.
I assume it's part of another city or something.
Yeah,
like one of those little like villages. Yeah. Like. It's not really a place.
Squantum.
But it is.
It's just South Shore.
Hey, anybody been to Wahlburgers?
No. My wife has.
Did she like it?
Yeah, she thought it was great.
Really? Yeah. For some reason, my wife wants to go, and I just have no desire to drive an hour to get a burger.
Yeah, well, Beth took the kids there and another family. They all went, and they had a great time. And the guy who's the turtle, you don't watch Entourage, but the turtle is there as a sort of greeter. And she said he was fantastic.
Oh, really?
Where is it?
Hingham is one of them.
Is it Hingham?
Yeah,
no, I was going to say South Shore somewhere. Yeah. It was a long ride for them, too. Yeah.
And I looked, like, the menu was...
But it was good. I mean, it wasn't... like she didn't say it was, like, the best burger she ever had. They wanted to go for the shtick, and she said it was a lot of fun. But she wouldn't, like, necessarily do it again.
Speaking of these cookies that came today...
Very good.
The word is cookies. Is the word cook in there? That means they need to be baked and or cooked. These were, I'm eating raw dough.
It was very good today, though.
But
it's a fine line.
I'm
going to
get sick.
No, you're not.
Yeah,
it's
I
a
am.
Fine,
yeah,
no.
It'll have more to do with, no, never mind.
What, the penny in the meatball?
The ground horse you ate.
The meatballs you ate from Grande.
But a cookie is a fine line because overcooked,
those
not
meatballs.
Good. You want them soft. You want it. There's a fine line.
Yeah,
there.
That's too fine. That's
how
too
you
soft.
Doing, baby?
What about cookie dough and ice cream?
Okay.
That's not
they
cooked,
make it
right?
So you can eat it now. It's
I
not
know,
like
but
it's
you
like,
can smell the raw dough there from the cookie.
I thought it was very good.
Not good.
I thought it was better than the
it wasn't
hockey pucks
great.
We had one day.
It wasn't the greatest cookies
what
I've ever
happened
given us.
To the white chocolate cranberry cookie?
No question.
Yeah.
These are not as
Kevin,
flavorful
look
and as
to
good.
The cookie, Elaine.
Oh, he pushes away from the desk like I'm bothering him.
No. It's...
Because there's somebody under the desk.
I'm going to put March 15th as the over-under for when Fred just jumps ugly all over Kevin.
Why can't we get the white chocolate cranberry cookies anymore?
So I order those every time, but they say that they don't ship them in anymore.
Oh, so they don't make them.
But, well, they get the dough that's shipped in, and then they put them in the oven. It's like pre-made dough.
It's Otis Spunkmeyer.
Yeah. It's the same thing. Really? Yeah, it's the same thing with the chocolate chip. They order the dough, and then it comes
in.
So
they don't want them anymore. They don't order them.
Well, my theory, Fred,
well, now he's chocolate.
Is that we used to order them all the time.
Pouring people what they want.
Otis Spunkmore.
My theory was that we used to order them all the time, and then we went on this run of, like, many months of just Omega.
So apparently we were the only ones that liked them?
You should probably, just to avoid any hassles, you should probably just stick with Omega.
Right.
Because it doesn't matter to the three of us.
I'm with Fred
on
this
one. Fred likes Omega and doesn't like Grande.
I'm with Fred.
It doesn't matter to anybody else, so why don't you just go to Omega?
Every once in a while, I want a chicken parm
dessert.
Calzone from, no,
oh,
from Grande.
Yeah, they do make good calzones. The calzones at Grande are tremendous.
Okay, well, I don't
but
know. See, this girl's got
I don't have
necklace.
Any problem with going Omega.
But my theory is, Paul, that we ordered Omega so many times, and we weren't ordering these white chocolate things. They were like, why are we going to order anymore? These guys aren't calling
so,
an order.
Like I said, we were apparently the only ones that liked
them.
No,
but everybody who, like, we used to bring the, if there were a couple left over, we'd bring them upstairs, and everybody was like, these are the best cookies I've ever eaten.
So right.
Well, it's not possible. We
were
the
very
only
good
people.
Yeah,
that
I can't believe that.
I don't buy
some
it.
Other, we need to interrogate them about this.
I will interrogate them on Tuesday.
And listen,
I thought we were the only ones that ever got cookies.
If they weren't selling them, then they need to promote them more because they were delicious.
Yeah, they were good.
I think if people knew about them,
they were delicious.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we're getting to the bottom of the barrel of our Phoenix stuff. Did we talk about this yet? The In-N-Out Burger, very, very overrated.
Yeah,
very.
Yeah,
very overrated.
I've been to one. I wasn't.
But
that
see,
impressed.
The thing about the In-N-Out is,
and
I
the
know
out
well,
was not overrated.
Well, in your case,
holy crap, literally.
Yeah, but no, but in your case, that's anything you digest.
No,
right.
I had
ingest.
A Wendy's Baconator at the airport when I was there for 15
most,
hours, and that didn't
most
cause diarrhea.
Fast food burgers. After you eat them, you kind of feel guilty because you feel sick, and you're like, oh, my God. You know, you have, like, McDonald's, you have a
right.
craving,
yes.
and then you have
McDonald's,
it, like, what in the world did I
McDonald's
do?
McDonald's need a shower when you're done.
Yeah.
Oh, I went to
In-N-Out isn't like that. In-N-Out is it's a fast food burger that's not bad after you have it. You don't feel, like, all
okay.
gross.
I had the animal fries with everything on it. Those are pretty good. Yeah. I thought the fries are better than the
burger. I didn't join you guys for this one, but
did
I have been to In-N-Out before.
I didn't know they had shakes until you made me bring you one.
Well, the Shake Shack around here just opened up. Recently, there's a couple, and those shakes are really good.
Really?
I've never been to
you
one
You should
of those.
Probably lay off those if you're going to do 14 minutes of cardio.
You have to ruin everything, don't you?
He really
you have
does.
To ruin everything.
You're feeling good about yourself,
right.
Fred. You know, you're going to try to drop, be a little bit healthier.
Yeah,
and
but
here's the typical.
I had
he
one like 8 months
money
ago.
At the
you
problem.
Know?
That like he threw money at the problem.
He
I need
wants
to get in shape, so I'm going to throw $1,600 at the problem.
Well, wait,
and act like
no, he wants
you
to
might
use
as well
the
get
machine.
Lipo.
Look, I know if I don't eat sensibly, it won't
right.
matter. I understand that.
Okay.
I don't need your big head to tell me. let's go to Jerry in California. Hey, Jerry.
Governor.
Governor Moonbeam.
Good morning. I'd like you guys to do something a little bit unusual this morning because
talk
I'd
football.
Like to cook. To correct something that Mike Reese wrote.
I'm just going to tell you right now, I'm not sure I'm willing to go there. I need to be convinced. Because
well,
Mike does not make a lot of mistakes.
Well, let me tell you what Mike said, and I'll paraphrase this a little bit. There's two parts to it. He said if the Patriots were guilty of deflating the balls after they had been turned over to the officials, it would be a big deal and a big fine. And then he said, but if they were only guilty of providing underinflated balls to the officials, it would be a less of a problem and a lesser fine. In my opinion, if you turn over the balls to the officials, they can be inflated at 200 pounds or 2 pounds. But once they get that official stamp on it, the Patriots are no longer guilty of anything. That's the way
I hear what you're coming from, and I agree with that. You know, if they had given the footballs to the official and they found them to be underinflated at that time, they should get a fine. They should maybe at that point. But now it's too late to give them a fine for the pre-stuff. It's not too late if they find that they tampered with the balls after that. But, yeah, I agree with you, Jerry. If at this point they say, oh, you know, they were too light to begin with, it's too late for that. There should be and there will not be, I'm pretty sure, a penalty for that.
Yeah, I would tend to agree
with
that.
It's the same thing as Aaron Rodgers saying, I overinflate and try to get away with it.
Right. Now, here's what I don't know, and this isn't the case with the Patriot situation because we know that Walt Anderson accepted all the balls. If you give all the balls underinflated and the referee says these need to have more air in them, that, to me, should be subject to a fine.
That's what I said, yeah.
No, but I'm saying if they didn't pass inspection.
Right, right. I agree.
Even though, you know, okay, I'm going to do whatever I want. If you doctor with the ball to the point where it's not regulation.
Yeah, I think if there's a pattern, if it's like every ball is under, I think you should be fine. But if there's one or two balls that are soft, you know, just pump them up.
Yeah,
and
I would tend to agree with Jerry, though. I think if they were accepted by the referee, that should absolve the Patriots of any guilt.
Yeah.
Another quick item. After rewatching the Super Bowl, I counted at least three times that Lynch was given the ball in short yardage situations, and he didn't make it to the line of scrimmage.
Yep.
One time, Nikovich came around the corner and grabbed him, and I think one time Bill Clark stood him up or whatever. So there was no absolute guarantee that he was going to make that half a yard if they gave him the ball on the second down.
There is
what
no
about,
guarantee.
What about third and fourth?
Well, let's put it this way. I would have gave him the ball, and I would have gave it to him until an official came and took it away and said the game was over. But
you're right.
No, but I'm asking you, do you think they would have stopped him three plays in a row?
It would have been.
Because I think they might have been able to stop him on second down. I'm not willing to say that the game would have been over the next play.
But
I just don't think there's really much of a chance that they would have stopped him on three plays.
But here's the thing. Knowing now the way Pete Carroll was thinking in those moments, let's say on the next play they did stop him. Who's to say that on the play after that he doesn't try some weird end around with Lynch and he gets stopped again? You know, because they're not just with the confidence to just pound it.
But that's not what I'm asking you. I'm asking you if they just lined up three times and ran Lynch into the line, do you think they would have stopped him?
No, I don't. But
no, and neither does anybody else.
But we're also assuming that on those three plays they would call that play.
Well, that's a dumb assumption because they threw the ball on second down.
Exactly. Yeah, that's what I'm
saying. If he hadn't made it on second down, the Seahawks would probably have thrown on third down because they would have probably.
They want to stop the clock.
Well, that was their argument.
Right.
And then they know we're going to throw because everybody knows. Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of what ifs, and obviously we can't get there because it's already
over. Right. And we've been on the other end of those what ifs, so I'm fine with how things ended up.
Now, it doesn't take anything. I don't understand, really, the hue and cry on Patriots Nation. It doesn't take anything away from me the fact that Malcolm Butler had to make an incredible defensive play to win the game.
But you know how Patriots fans are. Not only do we want the right to say we won.
You want the narrative to say what you wanted to say.
We want to bury people. We
right.
want to bury them. We want to shut them up.
No, but you want everybody to analyze the game the way you want them to when it's over.
Well, we want
that's what Patriots fans are.
We want there to be no doubt. And no, that gets back to my,
well,
I want to blow every team out.
No, I understand that, but, I mean, that's not really realistic in
I
Super
know,
Bowls.
But fans aren't realistic, Paul.
No, but I'm talking about the game is over, and it was a close game, and somehow Patriots fans seem to be taking real exception to the fact that a lot of people think Pete Carroll blew it. This bothers Patriots fans.
I
have no idea why.
Well,
I have no idea why.
I do.
Thankful that he blew
because
it.
Because in their mind, when you focus on that, you're taking away from our win.
But what I'm saying is be thankful that he blew it. Otherwise, you would have lost.
I get it.
So why wouldn't you be happier that you won than having nothing to worry about with Pete
Carroll? You don't have the mentality that we have.
But not everybody does. The guy earlier said, I don't need to know who was better. I just held up the four rings.
Right.
We won.
Right.
I don't need to know who's better.
That's the only thing that matters.
This isn't a test of who's better.
Right.
It's who won.
At the end of the day.
Seattle, I think it makes it even funnier.
Right.
Let Seattle sit there and wonder what would have been if they had run the ball.
Right.
We won.
Right.
That's my reaction as a Patriots fan.
It's what Giants fans said when we moaned about the Tyree catch. It's like,
right.
Too bad.
Right. Now, you don't think that the Giants wished they didn't have such a fluky play in that last drive?
Right.
But who cares?
But they'll take it. Yeah.
Right, they'll take it.
I don't
it.
See any Giants fans lamenting the fact that they had this guy stick the ball to his head.
Well, I don't think Patriots are lamenting. I think
a lot of Patriots fans are really, really taking exception to the fact that people are focusing on Carroll too much.
Okay.
And I don't understand why that would bother you in the least.
Yeah, it doesn't bother me.
I know it doesn't bother you. It doesn't bother any of us.
All right, Jerry, thanks for the call. Let's go to Mike in Virginia Beach. Hey, Mike.
Hey, guys.
What's up?
All right, so, yes. The reason you're getting so much gratitude is because it's a jubilant win, and those of us that have been listening for a long time, thank you for providing the entertainment that you do. And thank you for the diversity. I wanted to make this point for probably going on a couple of years now, and it really started getting ramped up this past summer when Andy was hosting and he dumped Justin for saying like too many times.
He was really mad at me, too.
Here's what's interesting. You guys probably didn't notice this. He's the only one that has a conversational twitch that has actually tried to change it. And I'll give you a great example. Last Thursday, the British or Irish guy calls in, and he's totally bought it. And he gave a bunch of, like, he gave a bunch of, New England battle successes and stuff. And he even said dropping the mic. And then you guys go to Trey in Memphis. Cool. And you go, Trey, you got big shoes to fill. And Trey proceeds to go, yeah, that's all cute, what he said. and Tay can't string two sentences together without 75 you knows.
Well, we have a lot of callers that have a lot of you knows.
You do. Dave, you know, there's a caller. I don't remember who he is.
Dave from Connecticut.
You know.
There's one guy that basically calls and pretty much explains the basics of football. And the call goes like this. Well, I think if the offense did what they did last week and the defense can really stand up and special teams shows up, I think we got a chance with this. I'm going,
You know you're not making any friends right now. You're doing.
You just eviscerated our whole fan base, Mike. Thanks.
But no, not trying to. I guess.
Oh no! I think you are
trying or not. You did.
Right. So, and to the point about Fred throwing money at a problem, I can tell you that as far when it comes to fitness, like, look at me. I'm in the storage business, and over the years, I've acquired almost a full home gym without paying for it. Furthermore, there was a fitness studio. The guy that owns it needed storage space, and I have my own space that I don't even use, and I needed to get in shape. So we made a deal where I can walk to the studio that he owns. It's 24 hours. I haven't been there in 9 months. first of all, because I'm not motivated, and I haven't yet had good consequences, high consequences for being out of shape, but mostly because I didn't pay for it. You know what I mean? So sometimes the consequence of having to pay for something might motivate you a little more.
Well, do you have a nice rowing machine? I'll pay the shipping. I'd like to get a rowing machine.
That I do not.
You
have
one. Andy, do you need a rowing machine?
I like rowing
machines. Cable thing on one of the things I acquired. It's like one of those big, you know, cable machines. So you could kind of, but that's a lot of shipping.
Yeah. Well, it's better than paying for it and then shipping.
Not really. A lot of those things, the shipping is way more than the thing.
Yeah.
When you order like weights and that type of.
Oh, yeah, because. You don't have to ship me the weights, still you can buy those.
Right.
All right, Mike. Thanks for the call, and thanks for killing all our callers.
Yes, Freddie. Patriots, PFW in Progress Nation, thanks.
Missed this earlier, but apparently tonight on Sirius XM College Sports Nation, which is obviously on Sirius XM, 6 p.m., Coach Krzyzewski from Duke will be interviewing William Belichick.
Really?
Was that last year?
They've done it before. I don't know when it was.
Yeah.
But that was a tweet from Ben Bolin, in case it's wrong.
Okay. Well.
That was very well done.
I can confirm that's happening. Why don't you run on that? I'll be getting
tape
it.
That? Yeah, whatever. I'm way ahead of you. I've known about it for like 3 days.
Oh.
First time ever he's been ahead of anything except for a certain woman who works in a certain place that we won't talk about.
What?
Idiot. Next time you know something like that 3 days in advance, you might want to let us know so then maybe we can promote it.
No Sox is the one who just told me, so you should be yelling at him.
No, it's we're not yelling his at you because we hate you.
Well, we can't use any of it anyway. We don't have the rights to use it.
I don't want to use it. And why do we not have rights?
What do you mean?
It's completely their property. Like, we have to ask their permission to post it on the web or whatever.
They generally send out transcripts to that stuff.
No, but I mean use it, like play the audio.
We play things all the time without permission. Well, then it's in the publosphere.
Then get permission.
Or Spectre.
That's above Spectre, my paper, whatever.
Sector.
Let's go to Steve in Valley Forge, Pennsylvania. Victor? Hey, Steve.
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 Hey, guys. How are you?
Do you have any conversational tics that you want to be careful of using? Don't want to offend
now,
Mike.
Although I was going to comment on one of your callers a few minutes ago said.
What?
About the, and actually what you guys said, too. I'm going to argue against it. To my mind, if the Patriots give them balls that are underinflated, that's the ref's responsibility.
Correct. I agree.
And I watched that video that was up through Sports Illustrated, and you know, the refs are inflating the balls that they find underinflated, and I guess that's part of what they do.
Right.
So really, if it makes it out of there, you know, then whatever it is at that point, if the Patriots didn't touch it, they're absolved.
Right,
I agree.
It's Fred. Again, Fred, get back to the Aaron Rodgers. If he overinflates it, then they should stick their little needle in it and let some out until it's within the legal range.
Right. So, and you know, I've been coming, starting to think that, you know, to my mind, the Patriots didn't do it. You know, obviously I'm from Boston and I'm kind of a homer on this, but to me, Belichick had a great thing he could have said, and he didn't, you know, which would be that, hey, listen, we know the balls are going to cool down. You know, we deliberately fill them up in a warm room. We know they're going to cool down. But you know what? That's all the letter of the law says we have to do is get a ball that comes in at the right pressure.
Even plus, he didn't know that at the time.
It's going to deflate a little bit afterwards because it cools down.
Well,
if you believe him, he didn't know that at the time because he claimed he knew nothing.
Right. He may not have known, but maybe Brady did and whoever he has helping him did, you know?
Right. So that's why, given the way they reacted, I just doesn't seem like they would do it. You know, and you guys have probably been following this thing with, like, the fumble statistics.
Yeah.
And, yeah, and that seems to me to be kind of a sort of choosing your statistics as you go to make sure they come out the way you want them to be.
Yep.
Well, but that whole thing didn't take into account fumbles that weren't lost, though. And, like, just the game before, they had three of them.
Right.
Right, and I don't remember ever looking at games and thinking, gee, the Patriots don't fumble. You know, I remember seeing Ridley fumble a lot. Edelman's fumbled a few times in his life.
Yeah.
They all sit down right away.
Poor Ridley. They put the regularly inflated balls in when he was on the field.
I guess that's – but, you know, they do get to scuff them up, and as far as I can tell, there's no rule on that. You know, maybe they're taking a wood rasp to the
– bottom line is this rule has been in effect since the 1930s. I think it's time to look at
That's the biggest joke ever.
Yeah.
That is the absolute biggest joke of this whole thing. And there's a lot of stupid stuff in here. But the fact that you haven't altered it in 85 years.
Right.
When the ball has changed, when
right.
Everything has changed. And yep. You haven't looked at that. That's your fault. Shame on you, not shame on us.
Yep. All right. Well, thanks for the call, Steve. And thanks for listening, everyone. That'll be it for this week. PFW in Progress. We will be back next week. We will see you next Tuesday.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.